Welcome to We Are Libertarians for this week. I believe this is episode 142, and this is the celebration, although unofficial, of our fourth anniversary. In March 8th, 2012, we posted the first episode of We Are Libertarians. So we're gonna talk a little bit about that tonight and reminisce. But let me introduce the cast of characters that are here, who are strangely silent. Normally I get talked over by now. We've got Greg Lenz to my right.
Chris, how are you, buddy?
Finally on my right where he belongs, no longer in front of me or in the left.
Well, I am an establishmentarian now, if you listen to our, the guest that'll be introduced here soon.
We'll get to him in a minute. Rob Kendall sits across from me.
I'm very excited about a rousing conversation about Jeff Vibbert's dating habits tonight.
I explained what Tinder was to Rob. And Jeff had a fun date this past weekend. It's really interesting.
Did he get matched with Haley?
No. My girlfriend will not be on Tinder.
Oh, that's what you think.
Mine is. What's wrong with that?
Is that weird for you?
She's off it now. But the first 2 months that we were dating... Shut up, Greg. The first 2 months that we were dating, she was on it because she gets hilarious messages and then she'd post it. But I was fine with it. I'm secure in my masculinity. I'm alpha as fuck.
You would be in a totally... just observational way.
Hashtag no homo.
I think you'd be a great future husband for somebody.
I was a great previous husband to somebody, and then she didn't agree. So, but what can you do?
What did happen?
We'll talk about that later.
You never formed a search committee. You just said, I'm good.
Listen, I'm not the man that OJ is, okay? I didn't get out there and look for the ex-wife.
I hope someone, took her in.
Yeah. Oh, they did. The spiky, stupid hair.
Oh,
boy. Well, I'm much happier.
Yeah.
My girlfriend is hilarious and beautiful.
About 10 years younger.
12.
And we saw her at New Year's Eve at the comedy
you did.
Festival.
You
it was great.
Yeah, she appeared on the last episode at the end and gave us a little bit of comedy, and she said that she did stand-up that later that night. She said the highlight of her night was making Greg and Sam and Chris Mayo laugh.
She was hilarious the night I saw her win a stand-up contest with a bunch of professional comedians that have traveled.
Yeah.
She's going to end up on Star Search.
She is. She's a fantastic comedian. But you said you saw her on New Year's Eve.
I did. I got to spend New Year's Eve with you. Where were you, Lenz? Why weren't you there? What sort of friend are you?
I have friends that I go to the same two things every time. I go to a party in Plainfield and I go to a party downtown every year, have for years.
Well, we missed you.
Because drinking and driving is the thing to do if you're a libertarian.
That's right.
Buck the law, bro.
Calm down. You've been here for 2 minutes and you're already starting shit. Galt.
Am I going to get punched?
You might. So I'm trying to edit out the curses, and I've already done it twice. Joining us on this episode, listen, it's been 4 years, and, he hasn't been on in 100, and I think your last episode was in the late 30s, early 40s, and it's been 100 ever since then. So we figured, you know what, it's been 4 years. Chris Galt joins us. Say hi.
Glad to be back.
The man, the myth, the legend.
Yep.
Yep. You have heard the lore of Chris Galt, even going back to the 100th, which I did invite you to. I just don't think you made it.
I'm a corporatist now.
But then you were able to Skype in one time.
I did. I did Skype in once.
Briefly. But so I figured...
Or it was FaceTime.
Yeah.
That's why FaceTime. I did it. Because it was FaceTime.
FaceTime, that's right.
My first FaceTime.
We were actually recording an episode. And so, so we'll... Let me reset. Let me get to the beginning. So the beginning of We Are Libertarians, if you go back and listen to the first episode, it was...
Was this when you were doing it on Skype and there were four... Because I remember the
hangouts.
One I did.
Yeah.
Google
Google Hangouts.
Ruiz was in a bad tank top and the one that I was at.
Yeah. He's always in a bad tank
Mittens
top.
And was literally crawling on your head. And I was
that
at my old place in Brownsburg and I was like, what are these guys doing?
This is terrible for liberty.
Well, it started in Rupert's headquarters.
Yeah, so actually, Rupert ran for governor, and he had a really nice headquarters, and we made one room a podcasting room. And I had the year before in 2011 had refinanced my car to squeeze an extra $1,500 out of it. To buy podcasting equipment.
That is awesome.
So,
that is so cool.
Because I had always wanted to do a podcast since it came out in 2005. I was like, this would be awesome. And I always advocated at every radio station I worked at to do a podcast for our content We did with Abdul, and there was a WXNT podcast at WAL-radio.com. You can go back and listen to Baby Spangle. So, yeah, if you go to the download the Chris Spangle show in iTunes, and you can hear my very first radio
Neocon
show.
Neocon Chris Spangle.
Yes, back in 2005, I think
this
we talked
about
this.
This is back when you were Republican?
Yeah, support the troops. Mm-hmm. I held a fundraiser for Dick Cheney and the Iraq War veteran, Chris Spangle.
Oh, man. It wasn't that bad.
Because I remember you. I was working for the Indians at that time.
Uh-huh.
And, or right about that period. And I think you were like in there on...
I ran the boards.
Yeah. You were brilliant.
Shut up.
I mean, you were amazing. Zero mistakes.
You were a great Republican, Chris.
I was. So I had always wanted to do a podcast. And, you know, I met Galt, and I really liked Galt a lot. Boy.
Man, that was a long time ago.
And so,
if we had only been trolls when that all went down,
oh my God.
Everything would have been different. Everything would have been different.
I am so much different as a person than I was back then. It's hard to like think back, and it's I've been trying to go back and listen, and I'm just such a like I think back to that time period. There's a lot about me that's the same, but I have confidence and self-esteem now, and that is very annoying to some people, most people, in fact.
One of the people running for the Libertarian gubernatorial candidacy.
He really hates that I have self-confidence, and I'm real uppity now. We'll get to him later, but. So we started the podcast. I had met Galt, and I had met some of the college libertarians. I almost said Republicans. And there wasn't, like, anybody reaching out to them, kind of to knit them together as, like, a media outlet. So our first episode was hosted by the Libertarian Party of Indiana, and it was a college outreach. And we ended every show talking about, you know, hey, here's how you can get involved, all that kind of stuff, you know. And then it just evolved. When I left the Libertarian Party of Indiana, I knew that that podcast and that brand would die, so I stole it. Nobody ever asked me for anything. You know, this feed was originally in, like, their podcast feed. And Galt and Creighton were my two co-hosts for, like, the first 40 episodes. And the first episode, we debated whether or not Ron Paul or Gary Johnson was the appropriate choice. And, you know...
Those were the days.
You took Ron Paul, I took Gary Johnson, and Creighton, believe it or not, didn't care. So, and then he morphed into Super Rand Paul and
Rand Paul.
So Galt, eventually time goes on, and Galt being a younger man and Creighton being a younger man, and both of them very passionate young men, young bucks of liberty, started butting heads with each other. And there was an episode where we talked about, it was somewhere in the 20s, if you go back to episode 20 something, and we started talking about conspiracy theories.
Oh, man, he made me so mad.
You were so mad because you posed the argument that, listen, we should be allowed to talk about conspiracy theories, and Creighton held the theory, and I agreed with him. If you talk about conspiracy theories, everything else you talk about is irrelevant. And Galt just got real mad, and they had a screaming match on that episode, and they were just so pissed. And then it came back, and
that's so true.
Galt, a week later, picked the same fight in the next episode.
Same fight.
Fluoride.
I brought it back up with fluoride.
Fluoride, yes.
Mind control.
Right. Still don't use it.
Yeah.
No way.
Still drink like water. Shit. Still do
it. Like when you go to the dentist.
No fluoride. It's not covered under your insurance anyway. They make you pay for that
I walk
part.
Right in there with my tinfoil fedora, and I stare them down.
So Galt and Creighton get into an arguing match, and I'm like, I don't want to end this episode, but I have to because they're going to beat each other's ass.
And this is fun to watch.
This is. I think the episode title is The Fight. And so after that fight, we've covered this a couple of times, but after that fight, Galt gets up, and they get in each other's face. And
oh, no.
And
on a podcast.
After the podcast.
Alpha AF.
And we're non-aggressional libertarians.
Non-aggressional.
Now, was this in your house?
This is in my office. This is in Rupert's gubernatorial headquarters.
He's trying to become governor and make Indiana great again. And there's two libertarian college kids in a fist fight over fluoride.
The only thing that mattered then.
No.
You are wrong.
They were so mad.
Clear my schedule. You are wrong.
Galt was so pissed off. And he just starts... They start screaming at each other. And I go to stand up to break it up because I can see where this is going. And that's when I see Galt throw the slowest punch I have ever seen in my life.
It was a non-aggressive punch.
Yeah. It was very
didn't
non-aggressive.
Want to hurt anybody.
Yeah. He started and he like swung his arm like this. We'll
recreate
it. Which
if you can imagine what he's doing, it'd be like if Chris was very slowly wiping a coffee table off with just his arm.
So we'll do like delicately. An Instagram recreation for you and post it. So he swings it. Creighton, who is
in football,
he's a football player
for the high school. Creighton, running back,
yeah. Physical specimen, all American boy, great physical shape, huge,
freedom lover,
huge muscles. Galt, a little dumpy. Yeah. Not gonna lie.
Hey, I had the brains.
Yeah, and so
for a libertarian though, he's tough.
Right,
he's tough.
So he swings and he blocks it, and then swings his arm around. Puts his arm around Galt's head and puts him in a headlock.
And tackles me onto the ground.
And then tackles you to the ground in the hallway. Like you guys, I yell, take it to the hallway because I don't want my podcast quit stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Bang up the hallway. I don't want you wrecking my computer.
Because you've got $1,500 in this.
Yes. And so these two nerds go out to the hallway. Instead of like breaking it up, because I was getting ready to stand up, I sit back down in my chair to watch.
Oh my God.
And then
it just lets us wrestle it out on the ground for I don't know how long it was.
Bitches need to learn, okay? They need to learn. This is part of the learning experience as they grow.
Oh, I learned.
And so I go, all right, guys, break it up. No, he's going to hit me. And Galt goes, yeah, I'm going to hit him.
Attaboy.
He did.
And I go, Galt, you're not going to hit him. And he goes, oh, yes, I will. And he starts swinging, trying to hit him.
He still had me in a headlock.
He still had me in a headlock. Galt had no range whatsoever. And I go, Galt, you're not going to hit him. And he goes, yes, I am. I go, listen, if you hit him, I'm going to sit on you.
He did say
that. That's back when you were heavy.
Oh, I was 330.
He was huge.
Yeah. And I go,
not want to be sat on.
No. I go, you two are going to not do this. No. No.
like we're dogs. Bad dogs.
Yeah. Creighton agrees to let him go. He gets up and immediately leaves. Galt goes somewhere else in the office to a dark room and just sits there and starts crying.
I didn't cry. I had to chill.
He's so lucky
I was going to get sat on.
He's so lucky Spangle helped him out.
Yeah.
So I went and I had a conversation with him. But I knew after that day, nothing would ever be the same. And so I thought, all right, there's going to come a point where one of them is going to leave or both. Because somebody's going to force a choice because Creighton after that day hated Galt and Galt hated Creighton.
But they coexisted for a while.
They did for like another 10 weeks probably. And
because by then, I got to witness this.
Yeah.
And still to this day the funniest thing I've ever experienced in real life.
So what I did is I thought, okay, this is going to end. It can't just be Chris and I or Creighton and I. I know Chris is the more dedicated one to the podcast, but Creighton is not. But it's probably going to be Chris that forces the choice, and that's what happened. So in the meantime, before that choice came down, I started looking for other people. And I thought, okay, instead of just making it about the three of us, let's do an ensemble cast where we'll have a bunch of different co-hosts. We've had over 20 people on as co-hosts since that time, early 2013. That's when Greg came, and then he never left.
I know.
You were supposed to come on just as a trial, and you've been on like every episode but one since then.
Okay. I was like, well, if you guys want me.
Yeah.
He was a Republican.
It's a great show. Like, I listened to almost all of them, and it's...
Well,
it's,
when did you bring Kendall onto the Wall Network?
Shortly. So it was like January, February when
I was in love with my co-host.
Yeah.
Well, in hindsight, yeah.
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 He was crushing on April D.
Who
Big
was
time.
It? No, don't project, okay? The whole show was you trying to get in her pants, even though you're desperately friend-zoned. So go back and listen to the first...
Allegations just being tossed out all over the place.
From the man who just mocked a man for being upset over fluoride.
Yeah. You were totally friend-zoned, and she was into me because I had a podcast network, okay, bro?
So I brought on Joe. Joe became managing editor and effectively ran the website along
quota.
With me. And then yeah, quota. Diversity.
Yeah.
And Greg kind of started doing some writing and doing podcast stuff. Maya came on. We brought in a bunch of different people.
Brothers Peppers.
Gina. Yep.
Yep, the Brothers Peppers.
Peppers.
Yeah, if you go back and listen to our 100th episode, we kind of recap the first 100 episodes of We Are Libertarians. I talked to Gina the other day. She's doing great. I haven't talked to her in a while. I
haven't seen her in forever.
Yeah, I know. She sends her best. She was going to come and hang out tonight, but...
It's a really well done show from a radio perspective.
Thank you.
Like, I think it's a very interesting show. I'm always excited when I get invited to be on.
The key is we have fun doing this.
Yeah.
Like, and that's part of what Galt said. He's like, I wish I could come back. I miss hanging out with you guys.
Yeah.
And like the last episode he did, wasn't here, right?
It was guns. It was on gun. It was heavy on the First Amendment. And,
have you
the
ever
assault
been
rifle
here?
Ban.
I've never been here before. No, okay. You had another apartment where you went.
It was
down
at Cholo
stay,
Run right. in the rape den.
Right, I was told
that's where it was in the back of some sketchy right. apartment complex.
He was like, knock three times, jiggle the handle, and then beat your chest twice.
Right. Yeah. So I started bringing on other shows. We did Storytime with Gina. That was fun. And all of our shows are still on iTunes. I just actually went back this past weekend and cleaned it all kind of up, and I put Creating Maya back out there because I think
that's a great show.
That's probably
one of the great ones.
That's the best podcast I've ever done, where we talked about Maya's transition to from male to female, and I learned a ton on Creating Maya, and she wanted me to take it down, but it's my property, so I put it back up.
I told you about the first time I met Maya?
No, tell me.
It was when Gary Snyder was doing his little roundtable deal on Indiana
Talks.
Oh,
Indiana Talks.
And we had the show at 4, and so he'd have a Republican on each day, and like a lot of people used to listen to Gary. And so he says, you're going to be on, you know, such a day, and you're going to be on with A, B, and C.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, whatever. So it was some question about Mitt Romney or something. This was...
Yeah, because this would have been when he was running for...
It was just after something about where the Republican Party was going to go or something like that. And I gave some answer about how Republicans have got to be reasonable in their ask, reasonable in how they go forward, or some public policy question. And without any introduction, I just hear this voice on the other end, because we're all on the phone together, just screaming at me.
Do an impression. Like, do you think you could do it?
That is a false construct of society.
And I think he even said to Gary, who is this?
You didn't know?
I didn't even know who's yelling at me.
I know, because Gary didn't know how to do a radio show.
So So that was my introduction to Maya. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
I thought we were all getting along here.
Everybody's first introduction on the 100th episode, Maya burst in with an AK-47 or something.
An assault rifle unloaded.
Because you guys know the rule of the round table. Like, if you're doing, like, two guests, you guys are allowed to really go at each other. But if you're doing, like, a round table, it's polite. It's like everybody's their opinion. You go to the next person.
And then you invite the libertarian.
And I was getting screamed at. Yeah. Who is this?
Add libertarians to the list, or add roundtables to the list of things libertarians ruin.
Yeah, so the theory was, you know, I wanted to emulate Bob and Tom. I wanted to emulate the Mike O'Meara Show, which is a podcast I love. I wanted to emulate Howard Stern, where they have that kind of ensemble cast. And I just thought, you know, the three, Creighton, Chris, and I do a good job, but at the end of the day, we're not experts on every single subject, so I'll get friends that know about different stuff, like Harry knows all about guns. Maya knows all about everything. Greg knows a lot about economics. Galt mm-hmm. knows a lot about fluoride. I know.
Galt's the strongest I've been on with on guns.
Yeah, and so I'm just kind of the moderator, the host, and the organizer here, I guess.
Titular head.
Right. Dear leader, if you will. So then
Rob, but when did Rob come on with April?
April
never came on. She refused. It was just Rob.
Right.
I knew, it was just Rob. But
Rob started doing a podcast. He did a radio show and a podcast with April. And I said, hey, I reached out to him, or he reached out to me. And I said, he didn't have an RSS feed. So I said, I'll create an RSS feed for you.
Oh, that's what the, okay.
And so we hosted that podcast. We did never... what was the podcast that you did one episode with?
It's like
nearly
Reddit.
Total nonsense.
It's like Reddit
with Chris
for
Peffers.
Your ears.
Yep, that's what we.
Oh,
that
was
our
brilliant.
Motto. It was great.
You know, this is. You know, what's
it was
funny
brilliant.
Is
it was.
A lot of people know I looked at running for state senate this year, and I kept thinking the whole time when I was looking at doing, I said, those We Are Libertarian podcasts that I did are going to come back to bite me in the butt big time.
Oh,
I'm sure I said something outlandish on there. No, because they were all up there. And
I wouldn't delete
them. When I was thinking about running, I was like, I know
somehow.
I said something on there.
I thought
that's
so many times. It actually did in student government at IEPUI. They played one of my episodes at the student government meeting.
Yeah,
because I was talking about how had all my libertarian friends join the committees and take over all the votes and stuff. And they played it back at the meeting, and like I was done after
when
that.
I was looking at running, I told people, I said, I know I'm gonna. That's gonna end up in a Pete Miller commercial at some point.
Oh, I've said stuff where I know I can't run. I mean, because I now have 140 episodes, and there are 42 episodes.
But
plus,
like Trump,
Aunt Donna.
But like Trump is proving, if you just embrace it.
Oh yeah, it's authenticity.
Just embrace it.
Either own it.
Yes.
No apologies. Yeah. Go cry in a corner, loser. Yeah. Or you look fake like Mitt Romney or Marco Rubio saying, oh, I wish I hadn't have said that. My kids are disappointed.
Right.
Little Marco.
And Trump's out like, by mistakes.
Yeah. Shut up and drown, Cuban.
I will link. If you want to hear nearly total nonsense, I'll put a link. It's still out there publicly available, but I'll link it in the show notes. Yeah. It's terrible.
It was great.
And so
it
I got
like, so much fun.
Ears.
Well, so... the episode, so I see it kind of the train wreck coming, and we had started a group chat on Facebook just to kind of keep things organized. And I mean, this was like early 2013.
I hated Facebook
when the group chat started.
And I still do.
And, of all the things,
and
I still
so
hate Facebook.
We were. It was Joe, myself, Greg, Creighton, Galt. Was there anybody else?
Gina.
In there?
Because she was on Facebook.
Gina
then.
Was in there for a short period.
Because there
of time.
Was a time when you two got so heated, you broke your phone.
Yeah, she called me a racist.
Yeah, well, you kind of are. You're white and a male,
right? And that was her perspective.
That's racist.
So we're all racist.
Yeah. So we had this group chat, and we thought we were so edgy. We said things in there that, like, oh man, if anybody ever finds out, now we say that stuff on Facebook to our friends. Like, it is so funny the evolution of Greg and I, and how we've become like, we'll just say it.
You're gonna have shitlords.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody the other day,
the fraternal order
somebody
of
the other day asked
shitlords.
Me. They go, "How did those guys do those memes?" It was an older person.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who
you
was
have,
it?
You have well, I'm not gonna say it on air.
Okay.
You have fans though.
Oh,
they
wow.
do find them funny.
No, when I all right, so I may get like 50 likes on something, 100 likes on something, and I may get one share, 50 comments. If it's real heated. But if I post a video, I get like 1,000 views. So like I know there's a ton of people watching all this stuff.
Yeah,
like
that's
all the memes are brilliant. Like well,
they
someone,
all started
well,
to get people to read news articles.
Well,
we were putting
let's face it, and you'll admit this, as any good artist will. Some of them are stupid.
Oh,
like some of them you put them out there.
99% of what you put out.
Some
like,
of them
but
are,
you get one hit, and then we get
some
500
of them,
likes.
Some of them are brilliant, though.
Oh, the Bob Grand one, I'm really proud of.
Yeah,
I'll be honest.
Very funny.
I'll be honest, because that guy's a scumbag. Like, he's the ultimate establishment rhino overlord
here
for the
in
Republican
Indiana.
Party for Indiana.
He's head of a law firm here in Indianapolis, and he basically runs the Republican Party, but he's never been elected.
No.
But he is the access to all the money in the state because he runs the major law firm
he
for all the major companies.
He literally just taps people on the head and says, you're the guy.
Right.
You're an absolute buffoon and idiot that can barely function in society. You're going to be our new senator.
Yep. And that's how it works.
Yeah. So, it's true, man.
It is. Don't laugh.
Like I wrote about it, how mad I was.
Rob's been trying to get him to tap him for years.
But then Rob has people like Jimbo on.
Right. Yeah, we'll talk about Jimbo in a bit. But
I'm just happy to see Greg's alive.
I know.
Well, I died for a bit. I got a small cyberbullying incident with an online terrorist.
This is great. So at one point, Greg was really into Hitler last summer.
I was into offending people because all the stuff in Missouri was going on, and
right.
I need a safe space.
I feel like you really trailed off on the Hitler.
I'm not interested in that right now because, like, I feel like we've with Trump, we're past the point of safe space. It's active provocation.
Yeah.
On TV news 24/7.
Yep.
The tide has shifted. I like to think I rehabilitated a man that probably deserves a second look. No, just kidding.
I honestly, like, because there was a time where I was like, we can't do that, we can't do that, we can't do that.
Well, Galt's whole thing.
Where I was very worried about how I was would be perceived, what people would think of me.
All 172 subscribers.
I didn't
care at all.
No. That,
you just wanted to make Creighton mad.
So that first year, we only had 72 subscribers, and Chris just wanted to talk it all, and Chris was right. We should have an open discussion about
anything.
All of this stuff, even, and I very much was like, listen, you don't want to be a conspiracy podcast. You don't want to be the
Free
black and yellow.
Live.
Yeah, you don't want to be that crowd because it does turn people off. And they, there was somebody, one person was talking to their spouse at the time, and they go, you're hanging out with that guy? I thought he was just like a conspiracy theorist. And I was like, I'll tell you later. And
that sucks.
She was like, no, uh-uh. So, and I blame him. But anyways.
Well, no, because I remember the argument. I still to this day, because I was brand new, and I was like, Gault, I'll do it with you. Like, let's just look at the facts. That Zeitgeist documentary on 9/11 was out. We will only report facts. We won't do anything else. Creighton, no way.
I'm not going to be on this
Have
show
Have you heard
anymore.
About Rand?
No, Rand was not even a glimmer in
no.
his eye yet.
No. He was and still so, working
he
on eyes.
If we even talked about it.
Yeah, so for a few weeks, Gault, just every chance he got, would fucking push my buttons, say, you know, we got to do this.
Did you see this Fox News article about fluoride?
And Greg is such a good guy. Greg is, you know, wants to be the peacemaker at that time. And then finally it just blew up one day. And Creighton just lost control and just started finding memes of... like a beating a dead horse.
Oh my gosh. And
well, then though it turned
we
in
had,
what
we did have a meme war for a minute. You guys took down a lot of my memes.
You
that
seized
you would,
control
that you
the account
to...
and started calling out Creighton on the Facebook I know, page.
You I locked us out. Oh, you locked
and
me
the
out
Google Plus.
On the Google Plus account, which you guys didn't care about.
I still get like notifications
that was
from
all
Google
me.
Plus. I didn't even know it was active.
Yeah, nobody uses it anymore, right?
Not really.
That was my account.
Yeah,
clearly. It was
mine.
No, I know.
Anymore.
I know, but there. Chris Gault is the man that made Dear Leader, because up until the Gault incident where he was trying to force us to do Google chat instead of
that
Facebook
was what
chat
broke things wide open.
And Gault was just being an asshole.
Because isn't that how you used to do the show with something Google? That's the
Hang
time I ever used
yeah.
Google
it worked,
Plus. I had
it worked,
to create an account.
Put it on
right.
YouTube.
Couldn't, though, just upload memes. You had to, in
I,
Google
and I
chat,
kept,
you
I kept
had to
sending
get a link
Spangle messages going, I've never done this before. Does this work? Yeah. Am I on? Can you see me? Yep.
It's great.
That's how
like,
we started.
It's the best way to get up and going.
It worked great.
And so I was like, no, this is where everybody is. This is what we're doing. Yeah. The five of us don't want to do this. You do. Get over it.
So
and
I
then,
did.
So, and then he did.
For a minute.
And then,
then he seized the account.
And then he took over. And then that's when I was like, I had to fire him.
This mother.
I had to fire
from
him.
From a free podcast.
He got fired.
Fired from a free podcast.
Some of those Creighton memes, if I would have put them up now, they wouldn't have been taken down.
Oh, they'd
they
be the least offensive thing on a daily basis.
They would be hilarious right now. And now they're gone forever. I don't even know where they are now.
No, I have them saved somewhere.
We
they
went,
were.
So we went over to Google chat for 5 minutes. And then... Creighton was pissed because I didn't know. I still thought they were memes. I didn't know they were memes. And I listened to him.
Yeah.
And so I had no idea. But I'm like, this is so fun to watch. I'm going to go over to Google Chat and watch these two. Well, you can't just upload a meme into Google Chat. You have to go to Imgur, get a link, and then post it into Google Chat.
It's like an extra 3 steps.
It is annoying, but it would have limited memes.
And you also couldn't do it from your mobile. You had
right.
It was just
At
very
that time.
Clunky. Because it was... 3-4 years ago or whatever.
And so, but Gault was so anti-Facebook, it turned into a holy war like Islam versus Christianity.
God.
They come back into Facebook chat. Gault is livid, just roasting Creighton. And Creighton doesn't say anything for a little while and then puts the Ron Burgundy meme. Well, that escalated quickly. And Spangle and I are messaging each other privately. And I go, dude, I'm sitting here in my recliner squealing like a little girl.
And I was too.
I am shaking and people probably think I have like Tourette's.
My ex-wife was like, what is going on? I'm like, I can't even begin to describe
these two
you.
Nerds. They're so passionate about liberty.
And we were all just so serious about it. And like... You posted these memes that were not a big deal at all, and they weren't even offensive or they were kind of funny. I mean, I laughed at him, but Creighton was so pissed.
It just made him more and more angry.
You just can't make me look like that in public, because we have like 200 people that liked the page at that point.
And half of them we bought off Fiverr.
Right. And so like we all took it so much more serious. Like now it's like we get actual traction and people actually listen to what we say and pay attention. And the stuff we post is like so much more offensive.
Oh, today was who wore it better, Hitler versus Hillary in a pantsuit.
Oh, there was no way I would have ever allowed that.
Not in a heart of never.
No, because I was very worried about how I looked. I mean, there was, and then the meme that kind of broke our cherry. It's this old, and I'll just say it. It was I think it was you that introduced us to Reddit and 4chan, really. And
oh boy,
Creighton goes, I don't. Greg goes, I don't know what 4chan is. I really don't even know what a meme is. And
that
I
was the turning point in my life. Not kidding. Online.
And so I said, what is 4chan? I kind of knew what it was because of my cousin. And so Creighton goes to 4chan and just finds the first image in the Be Random board. And it is a picture of this elderly grandmother who is so sweet looking. And it's a church photo. And she's like smiling. And it just says, I'm a huge faggot, please rape my face.
Out of a church directory.
And it was the funniest thing we had all ever seen in our entire life.
That's right it. There. That's it.
And it's become like my favorite. I did it to Jim Shayla.
Jim Shella.
Yeah, I ended up putting his face on it last week while we were talking about him.
You and so he put it on Rick Santorum at one point.
No, I just put up Santorum's Senate picture.
Yeah.
With that lettering, and I posted it, and Spangle got flooded. What is going on? And I'm like, oh, I probably should have checked with that one. Because I was just learning to meme. Like I was like on, I'm on Imgur. Like, okay, so I put it in and then I slide it. Like then I download it to my hard top or my desktop. Like just awful memeing. You know, I probably had an archive of memes.
You know, that's
such
like
a loser.
Like, I feel like, because I went to the old courthouse at Missouri this past, in St. Louis.
Oh, yeah, weekend, yeah.
And I feel like they had a whole thing to like Dred Scott, you know, like the whole, like there's different rooms of things that happened in Missouri history. And I feel like there should be a room somewhere of when Lens learned to mem.
To mem. The mems.
I used like, to call them mems. Like, and that drove
like with a glass case and like a bad drawn photo of Lens.
Oh, they were so awful.
Oh, yeah. And so what he and I just talked today about, he's going to collect all the Spangle memes, all the We Are Libertarians memes.
The Mark Warner memes.
The Mark Warner memes. We're going to take all of our memes, and we're going to make a page on WeAreLibertarians.com of our memes. And, you know, we'll do a Hall of Fame post. So you can go
there. A digital Louvre, if you will.
Right.
Some of them are brilliant.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll see.
I mean, when Ferguson was going on. And
that's when I finally, like, kind of figured it out.
Oh, you got good. And then this one day, it just pops up in chat, and it's me as, like, playing a lute. Yeah. And like, a 15th century lute player. And it and it says, I'm here. Spangle shows up at 5 to loot. Gets it wrong. I mean, it's the funniest. Yeah. It's my favorite one ever.
The problem with it became there were certain people that like took it way too serious and were like doing their own, and they weren't nearly as funny as yours. And then it just got out of control.
And then we got thrown into this chat with Aaron and Tyler and Jeremiah.
Well, Tyler messaged or Aaron messaged me out of the blue, and I was like, "Who's this Aaron Ewert kid?" And you're like, "Wow, he's awkward as hell. I don't know. I worked for Ron Paul," and I'm like, "Okay." And then like he kept saying something about rustling jimmies and showing me a picture of Russell Wilson. And I'm like, "What is going on?" And then he's like, "Just come to this group." So I get invited to the Brutalist group. Oh my God. And I get in there and I'm like, "What is this?" And I had met Amir, and I kept making pictures of him with like raps about 9/11, like you know, because he had a bunch of like totally New York, Brooklyn, East Coast selfies with Prada glasses on in his parents' bedroom, you know, in the mirror. And then I'm like, okay, so I don't really get this. They're all making fun of each other, and they're making fun of me, and like they don't think anything I'm doing's funny. So I'm going to take this kid. There's this kid. Or to this guy, and I took his child and put it on a flashlight.
That is not a God. A flashlight. That is a flashlight, a male sex toy.
And I was like, we're going to see how this goes. This must be what rustling the jimmies feels like. And all these brutalists are like, that's over the line. That is so offensive. You are awful. I'm going to kill you and find you. And then his name was Justin Murphy, and so there's a band, the Dropkick Murphys. But I made it the Butthurt Murphys and put his face on every player, and he got so mad he like quit the group. And then they kind of like were like, oh my God, we like this kid.
He
for
became
once.
King of the Brutalists. It's basically just 4chan people in a Facebook group, and it was so offensive. And like they put me in this chat, and they were just saying the most offensive things and like using the N-word.
Well, what they call each other are the two most taboo words.
All
that you can say, and they're put together, and it's the N-word, and then
a bundle of sticks
combined.
Yeah,
and that's what you are.
That's what they called each
other.
So
I was king
because he became king of the group. And so when you spend a year, because I just celebrated my 1 year anniversary of friendship with Tyler and Aaron. When you spend a whole year like immersed in that, you just like become desensitized to what is and what is not appropriate. And like at a certain point, Greg, like combining my emotional journey, my healing journey that I've been on over the last 9 months, and then like these groups, I have lost all semblance of like I have become Donald Trump. Only I'm sane. So like it's.
Cheap shot.
Like, I'm just going to say exactly what I want to say, and it has not been a comfortable year because people are not used to this. Chris Spangle is like, you know, but the more I have just been myself, the more I have said exactly what I wanted to say, the more people have accepted me. So yeah.
That was my contribution today. That gets the liberals really worked up. Because a listener of ours, Colin Schaefer... was having was getting death threats in a Bernie Sanders group online, and I go, show him this. And it's the Syrian kid with Donald Trump with an ooze coming out of his mouth. And I'm pretty sure Chris might be dead, or Colin might be dead.
The dead Syrian child that was so tragic. So tragic.
It was horrible.
Washed up on the shore.
Until Tyler started doing things to it, the same, like within hours of it happening.
Oh, we taught Tyler and... Tyler knew how to meme, but then we taught Aaron and Jeremiah Ewert, and it's been just depravity ever since. So yes, that has been kind of the evolution of this is the dark side of We Are Libertarians.
The creation myth.
Yes. And so
been wonderful.
But you guys have a huge following. That's the thing. Like there's a
lot
many
of people now?
Even people that won't like
4,000 subscribers and then two internet radio.
Not subscribers, just 4,000 listeners every episode.
Oh, is it 4,000? Okay.
People that genuinely, like me, I genuinely look forward to hearing the episodes because you guys, the thing I look forward to most are things that are not politically related, just stuff like this. It's just entertaining to leave on and listen to.
Yeah. Well, what we really wanted to build, so we were doing it in the studio and we left the studio and we... You know, we lost, Rupert lost the election and his campaign headquarters shut down. I know. And we got
Mike. He had SurveyMonkey data.
Right. That showed that he was going to do well.
A Friendster poll showed him winning.
Man, we had hope.
Yeah. So we did one episode in the awful old Libertarian Party of Indiana headquarters. Actually, I don't think you were there. We did it with, we might have done one or two there, but Creighton and I did one. And I just thought, you know what? I want to take this in a different direction. I'm leaving the Libertarian Party of Indiana. I'm quitting the Libertarian Party of Indiana for a period of time to give the new guy his space because I was running it no matter what Sam said last episode. And the new guy had a difference of opinion, a guy that I'd respect and love a lot, and I didn't want to crowd him in any way. And he came in, and so I just took a break because I needed a break. And... So we started just doing the podcast at my house, and Thursday nights, everybody would come over, we'd have a bunch of people over, there'd be beer, there'd be food, and we'd have a hangout, and that year, that 2013 really was, despite my marriage rapidly going south...
On the show.
It happened on the show.
The divorce happened on the show.
Were you at... Because I found at the end of bad relationships, I'm rooting for it to end. Do you feel that way at the end of your marriage that you're like rooting for it to end?
Let Greg answer that.
So I remember when I thought it's over. It is his wife's graduation from beauty school.
Beauty school.
And her birthday, right?
Right.
And there is a party planned for that evening at a pub here on the south side of Indianapolis. And I'm like, you sure you want to do this today? And I'm like, you want to record? Because that's at like 5. And he's like, oh yeah. So this is like 1:15. So I get over there. Not even set up. He's Suzanne Schaefer, who's been on the show, writes for Students for Liberty.
Yep.
And he's helping her set up her free Tumblr blog, going meticulously through vectors.
Anarchy and Coffee.
Yeah, Anarchy and Coffee, going through coffee mug vectors for over 45 minutes while I'm just sitting there. And I'm like, he's so dead. And his wife is coming in and out, seeing this 20-year-old girl in college,
funny,
idealistic, like
beautiful.
Attractive. Yeah. Like, it looks a lot like Kat Dennings.
Yep.
And I'm like, he is so dead, and I don't know if he knows or if he has just phoned it in.
Because I have found, like, at least I can think of two, maybe three relationships where they would use the phrase, if you don't shape up, this is over. And I just wanted to respond, please let it happen.
Yeah.
Just let it in. Let it in. Leave tomorrow.
Yeah. It's been 2 years, so I'll share. You know, and honestly, 2013, the reason that we were so active and did so much on We Are Libertarians that year and I took it so seriously is because it was the only passion and only interesting thing in my life, and it was my outlet. And I didn't have really any friends until I started the podcast, and then... Like, friends came over every week, and then I would spend all the rest of my time by myself, you know, and the group chat really became... I mean, I'm seen as a very social person, but the truth is, I really haven't been very social until the last year or two. And now I have the biggest circle of friends anybody could ever ask for, and I love it. But that wasn't the case back then. And this became my, you know, it's always been a dream of mine, not only to do a podcast, but I would love to grow this and eventually expand into news and politics and do this full time. And, you know, we've had some donors, people like Brian Wolgemuth, Sorry,
Bruce Kendall.
Bruce Kendall, our emotional support animal.
Ryan Ripley, Jason Doolittle, James Brown, some of the recent donors that have...
We love Ripley, by the way.
I do. Yeah,
Don't you?
He is awesome.
And he's a former Democrat.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so fun to make fun of him.
And I feel like Ripley, on occasion, votes for Republicans, too.
Oh yeah. He's a Ben Carson. He was a Ben Carson supporter.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were on the Shill Report back in 2013, which is still, it's in the We Are Libertarians feed, one of the great podcasts.
That was our tipping point, because Ron Paul ended up making a Mediaite clip, yep. Mediaite
That's
cited
right.
us.
You guys got on
Mediaite.
Yeah,
we're the lead story with Ron Paul.
Ron Paul audio, and I had set it up and blasted it out to Mediaite. It got on The Blaze, it got on Daily Caller, and like the website crashed because it just wasn't optimized for that level of bandwidth, and like... Sam wanted to have a date night, and we went to Olive Garden, and I'm like, all right, honey, and I'm like trying to get this all arranged and everything, and it was like, ugh. But it was just very clear that my marriage was ending, and it just wasn't happy for either of us, because we got together under circumstances where, and I have no ill will towards her. I you spend 6 years with somebody,
I think that's nice that you have no ill will towards your ex-wife, because I have tons of ill will towards several
ex-girlfriends. Fitbit. he cheers her on.
She accidentally added me on Fitbit, and I was like,
trolled.
I was like, there's absolutely no way that she meant to add me on Fitbit. Let me send her a cheer.
He cheered her on your progress.
Blocked within 30 minutes.
I died.
No, we haven't spoken since, we haven't spoken in 2 years. You know, we ended it amicably. We don't talk, but I don't have any ill will towards her, and I know that I hear that she is happier, and I am certainly happier. But the last 2 years, and I got to thank all the listeners for sticking with us, because trust me, there was a lot of points over the last 2 years where I just didn't want to do this anymore, because it was too difficult and emotionally draining to try and be happy and have social contact.
Care about politics.
Care about politics, all of it. I couldn't do it. You know, when I've been at the depths at several points. And you know, we've continued to keep going, and Greg has been a huge part of that and a great friend to me. And the last 4 years has been incredibly rewarding, largely because this has given me such a wonderful social circle.
Oh, I mean, I'm like so glad I know Rob. I'm so glad I met Galt. And then
I'd like to point out the fluoride guy does have two cell phones.
Yeah.
Well, now I work for AT&T.
Yeah. Talk about Mr. Corporate.
Yeah. Yep.
He's in the NSA division down in there siphoning off the metadata.
Staring now.
But, you know, like the friendships have been incredible. Like,
yeah.
Honestly... Outside of you getting hit by Maya on the public schooling episode, like there has not been an episode that wasn't fun.
Yeah,
you know?
And that translates, because so when we moved to my house, I started inviting more people and made it a social event. And you know, I'll never forget the very last episode that Galt was on. We all went out for drinks at Scotty's Brew House.
Yeah.
And
Hannah Drozich was our scumbag Republican, was our server.
It was the one right over here.
Yeah. And Galt goes, man, this is so much fun. Thanks for letting me be a part of this, Spangle. You guys are really great friends. I love doing this.
Friday morning, get in Google Chat or I'm gone.
He did not make it to the next episode.
Isn't it interesting, though, how you mark moments in your life based on specific things that you remember?
Yeah.
I mean, Haley and I went to the Bruce Springsteen concert in St. Louis the other day, and I was going back and looked through old YouTube clips of concerts I'd been to, and we were talking about this the other night. I said, I remember where I was during this, what was going on in my life around that. And it's interesting how, for you guys, a lot of this is specific We Are Libertarian episodes, what was going on in your personal lives, what was happening with your friends, your significant others. And that's what's really great about this show, is that so many people have been touched. Specifically, you know, I remember doing this. I remember where I was sitting in my old apartment in Brownsburg doing the that first show with you guys. I
mean, did you live alone?
I did at that moment in time. Yes, I did.
Yeah. No, I mean, it is. And we are blessed to
have... And just like Spangle, I do again.
We are blessed to have so many great listeners. And, you know, we are... I jokingly come across as an a-hole, but I truly, truly love the people that listen. I love the people that do this with me. I love the fact that you all have stuck by us, that you donate to us, that you... via PayPal or Patreon.
You hold us accountable.
You hold us accountable. I mean, frankly, I am fired up about doing this, and I'm adding things like the Gary Johnson podcast, Raw Audio Politics. Just go to iTunes and search for We Are Libertarians, and you'll see our past and present podcast, and I've got plans to add a couple more here in the next few weeks. But, you know, it just is such a pleasure for us to interact and build a community with you guys, and to, you know, we have a Facebook group. You can find the link on the front page of the website and get to meet other listeners. We don't have
come to Galt's Gulch over on Google Plus where he controls the page.
It's time for you to admit that Google Plus was a failure, right?
Yeah.
Still the second largest social network.
Because Google forced us, it raped us with Google Plus and made us get accounts.
If you can't direct upload a meme, you're irrelevant in my life.
Right.
Isn't that interesting how many things technology-wise, once again, getting back to that marking time thing about how you deal with whether it was MySpace or Facebook.
Right, no. Because MySpace was hanging on when this all kind of
started.
Like,
I literally remember the first time I saw a Facebook. I remember when it was
the Facebook. Yep.
The select college accounts. I remember the girl I was with. I remember where I was. I remember the room.
How much fun spring break was.
I mean, I remember all these things that were going on in my life the first time I saw a Facebook.
Yeah. Because that would have been like 2005, 2006-ish?
Yeah, it was 2005 because Purdue had it, and the girl went to Purdue, Ivy Tech.
I thought you went to USI, right? Or no, IUPUI.
I went to IUPUI. I went to several universities before finally settling on IUPUI. But it's interesting how you mark time based on technology.
Oh, it is.
Well, I mean, 4 years ago, I was an emotionally closed off, angry, depressed person who was in a marriage that was effectively over. I hated my job. I couldn't wait to find a new job, and when I got into that, I found it unfulfilling. And, you know...
The common theme of all that is libertarianism.
Yes.
In case anyone was wondering.
And now, fast forward 4 years later, you know, I've gone through 6 to 9 months of therapy. I've grown a lot personally. I feel like a different person. I love the life that I have. I love the job that I have. I love doing this. I have a great group of friends. I have a girlfriend that I love. You know, and
I'm glad you guys are back together.
Thank you. Yeah, we had a little rough patch.
You totally are my favorite because whenever there's any kind of, you know, when we're all a little curious, Rob will be the first to ask.
Yeah.
And he'll be the first to say, she's just dating you for what you can do for her.
No.
I know that's not true at all, but Rob loves to say it, which is.
No, because the celebrity couples usually do so well together.
I know.
So
Spewley.
Spewley. She's a very talented comedian.
Is she from Brownsburg?
She's from Pittsburgh. Yeah.
You know, I think I knocked on her mother's door the other day.
You probably did.
I did.
And she probably gave you a big hug and said, I'm voting for
her. She was wonderful.
Her previous dog was named George W. Bush.
I got done with the door.
My God.
I saw it on the list, and you know, you're going through literally thousands of people a week. So I knocked on the door and go through the whole thing, and this was very nice and friendly and wonderful. And I got done, I looked at the list, I was checking off the responses, and I thought, I bet that's Spangle's girlfriend's mother.
And you didn't bring it up?
Well, I was busy, man. Like we talked about before we went on air. Things happen. I'm busy. I'm
knocking on doors. You got to be out there knocking on doors saying, did you know that Todd Young is a pedophile? At least that would be how I would do it.
That's how you would do it. I would say Marlon Sussman's wonderful. He would be a great representative for in the United States Senate.
And just like Trump
would be so disappointed in you.
Well, I am very focused on the positives of my candidate, and that's what I like to do. But anyway, I did go out there, and I thought that's got to be Spangle's girlfriend's mother.
And like Emily, her mom's
great.
Yeah, her mom's delightful.
She was very wonderful. It was a great conversation. Very friendly. I thought she might invite me in for an apple pie.
Mm-hmm. She is definitely your down home.
So I don't know if that was her specifically, but
except for libertarians,
it very well could have been because I thought maybe that's not that common of a name, especially in Pittsburgh. So
yeah, we'll compare notes later. And
How do you feel about your daughter being in a celebrity relationship?
They love me.
He's a podcast king.
Well, he's famous.
Yeah. You're a leader.
Follow her on Snapchat on I Love My Uncle Jim, all one word. She's brilliant. So I Snapchatted you saying that, and Emily just texted, he met my mom?
it had to be her mother, because how many people have that last name out there in Pittsburgh?
So Galt, from your perspective, What happened? Because so the relationship kind of dissolved, and you know, I gave, from my perspective, I gave you so many chances to kind of like calm down, because I didn't want.
He was also so young though.
Because yeah, but the thing is like for you have to have drama for things to be entertaining, and you brought the drama. Yeah, you brought that Yeah, you brought that combativeness, and then when you left, we had Maya, and right now we don't have a lot of combativeness.
We have with Trump.
Yeah, well, I have become Galt and Maya.
You
honestly
censored me anytime I say Drump, anything but Drump.
I was going through some transitions out of college. Ed's campaign was ending. Rupert's all my libertarian involvement was kind of ending, like yours.
Right.
Didn't really know what I wanted to do.
Right.
Didn't like. I went to school for politics and didn't
early 20s,
anymore.
Man.
I was getting disenfranchised, so I found sales. Started getting really passionate about making money.
Liking women over liberty.
So
are you pulling some tail? Huh?
I just quit. I just quit caring, I guess, about it. Quit.
You became like me.
When I cared about it, then I would get fired up and want to talk shit to Creighton.
Right.
And you should embrace that urge. I look every day like, I wonder if Galt's going to attack.
He blocked me on Facebook for probably over 2 years.
Yeah.
He just unblocked me like a couple months ago when I got tagged in a post with him.
Jimmy's.
And I got tagged in a post with him and his name linked up and I was like, oh, clicked it and there he was.
That's
so I added him back.
There you go.
Yeah, he's gone through so many changes too. I mean, he doesn't really come on anymore. I mean, he doesn't participate in chat. I don't really invite him on much anymore.
He hates Trump too.
Yeah, but he
I'm sure he does.
Wasn't it interesting how much Spangle sided with Trump in his little online quiz that he did?
Oh yeah.
We'll talk about that.
Number two.
Wasn't that interesting?
Number two,
yeah.
Behind
yeah.
who?
Gary Johnson,
Cruz,
Ben
Carson.
We'll cover that.
Then Jill Stein.
You know that meme that Aaron did the other day with the Straight Outta Compton meme, where it's
Bye Felicia.
Yeah. And he put on top of it, he put goodbye sleepy doctor.
Yeah.
So, possibly racist. We're not going to talk about that.
So yeah, you kind of I could tell that. Yeah, you were kind of misplaced anger. A little bit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably.
So how much did you miss We Are Libertarians when it wasn't in your life?
Oh, my gosh. I missed it so much.
Yeah.
I listened to it for quite a while.
Did you?
Yeah. Like, I haven't probably in, like, the last... How many episodes are there now?
We're 142. Right
I probably haven't listened to it since... I've never listened to it after 100.
Really?
But yeah, one of my managers, Luke, at work... at AT&T, looked up my name on the internet and found the podcast. He listens to it religiously now.
Wow,
that's awesome!
Like he googled my name. He's like, I saw you're on a podcast. He's one of my. He's a great friend now, but yeah, he loves it. He listens to it all the time.
Isn't
on the
it good
way
to
work.
Have Galt back?
I'm like
it is.
Wow.
Yeah, no.
Samantha Lotes is going nuts right now, probably jumping up and down, baking you a pie.
I have never ever.
Oh, I love pie.
Ever held any ill will towards Galt. It made me sad that all kind of went down, and you know I wasn't as good at conflict resolution as I probably am now, and it really I internalized a lot of that. I was very codependent, and you know I just kind of thought at a certain point like. All right, the person that makes me choose between them, I'm going to choose the other guy.
Yep.
And
it was me.
Yep. And so Galt made me choose between him or Creighton, and I just said, well, I'm going with Creighton. I mean, so that was the most fair thing in
biggest
my mind.
Biggest mistake of your life.
Yeah. I didn't want to say it.
We could be the kings of Google Plus right now.
We could have been.
But
we could be YouTube gods.
And honestly, we just haven't had you back. I've asked you back a couple times, but it's just kind of never worked out for whatever reason. And so I made another effort and, you know, said, hey, 4-year anniversary, want you to come back. And you walked in and said, I don't follow politics anymore.
But here I am.
Yeah. But you brought a
and
lot
of it. And I can see some passion rising right now.
Yeah.
He's getting a little.
So have you been hit up by any, like, listeners? Like, what has been the communication of the last few years since you've left?
Nothing.
Really?
Occasionally I get tagged in a meme or a post.
I try to tag you and it's. That's, Ron Burgundy,
it's
especially.
It's mostly Greg.
Yeah,
it's mostly Greg. And then occasionally somebody will put me in a comment like, when's Chris Galt coming back?
Yep.
And that's the only time I ever
read anything
about
it. Does that fill you with pride?
It. Yeah.
And then he responds like,
people
with that
still
Fox
think about
News
me?
Fluoride article. He says, when these idiots do this.
When I can get on and talk about
losers.
Fluoride.
No, we have had a lot of people over the years ask for you to come back.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
You're by far the most requested person.
We never that's get great. Asked about Maya. Nobody ever asked for Maya to come back.
Really?
No.
In the beginning, she did pretty well, I thought.
Then she hit him.
I remember the Second Amendment episode with her.
Maya actually has chilled out a lot. Maya's actually a lot different. Yeah,
wow.
Maya has Maya was going through a very difficult time before, because you knew Maya as Jeremiah.
I did.
And then Maya started transitioning, and that's a very big deal to come out and say, I'm transitioning. And we covered all in Creating Maya, which is, you know, find your local podcast catcher and search for it, and you can hear that. And Maya really changed my life in a lot of ways, because Maya is the one who told me, she taught me about social convention and how much it doesn't matter. And then there have been several people along the way, Greg being one, who have really helped me in that respect. And now I just don't care. I say whatever, you know, and at the end of the day, people like me better because I'm not full of shit.
And it's not exhausting. Pick a side.
I remember saying I broke up with some, well, I got broken up with, and I met with somebody and I just said, do you have any idea? And like one of the reasons was, I just feel like you're feeding me bullcrap all the time. You're just not, you're not authentic. You're not vulnerable. You're not all that. You're just not you. You're just trying to like act. And I said, and do you have any idea how exhausting it is to pretend all the time?
Well, like, I mean,
it
like,
just is. Yeah.
It is. And like, you are an elected politician, Rob Kendall, in Brownsburg. And like that, I don't know how you do it.
Yeah,
and then you talk to all these people I would hate.
But then but the difference is I am who I am. And yeah. I went into it with that attitude. And I also went into it with the attitude that I was only going to serve one term on the town council. And I think that's the most refreshing thing for us.
Yeah.
I mean, I say things that offend people all the time. I get shouted at by school board members.
I see Monica Bouyer and Denise Gilby Moe yelling at you and calling you, you're not a Republican that I'm, not a Republican I know that likes tax cuts and, you know, fiscal responsibility.
Here's the deal. You just got, and you know this in your personal life, but also in the professional thing. And Trump is proving this. You just got to be yourself, man.
Yep.
You can't be offended by things, and you got to have really thick skin when people come at you. You got to say, look, I am who I am. In my case, I won 65% of the vote. And I look at it like the school referendum that we had last year, where every card was against us. They outspent us basically 100-1.
When you wanted to starve the kids of Brownsburg?
That's right. Yes, that was my goal.
Mission literally,
you didn't want them to learn and wanted them to walk to school, especially the urban ones?
He would see a child eating, and he would walk up and smack the food right out of the child's mouth.
This is what Jesus would do.
Right.
But I mean, it was literally because they made it out to be this because they thought, oh, this is a great strategy. Rob Kendall against an entire school corporation. And we won. We won because we said, look, here's the deal. We don't hate kids. We don't hate teachers. This is just grossly fiscally irresponsible. And I'll be happy to be the face and take all the bullets so people can go out and do the work. And you guys have found this in your podcast and in your success that if you're just yourself, even if people disagree with you, they'll say, you know what? Those are good guys, and they're honest, and there's so few honest people out here in the world.
You talk about the beginning of the Spangle memes, because it really, really has made me uncomfortable over the years, because I feel like it makes me look like I'm full of myself or I'm a narcissist, and so
And it had nothing to do with him. Like, he was never involved in any of it.
Right. It didn't.
It took place entirely outside of him.
Yeah.
It was when we were... He was not losing, you know, he was going through his divorce, and I was like, Joe, we'll do it at my office. Now, I'm not technically savvy at all with this stuff, but I'll figure it out and Skype you in.
Because basically what happened is February of that year, February 2nd or something, she left because she came home one day, and I was disrespectful.
Did you do a happy dance?
No, I was very surprised, but I was a little relieved.
Did you fight it?
Not really.
Yeah.
No. So
was this the family dinner at BJ's and you just decided not to go anymore? While you were supposed to be getting the reservations for the family?
That was actually up here.
Yeah.
Texas Roadhouse. That was a fight, and so we had a fight, and that was the first time we never...
Turned off his phone.
Oh, wow.
Because you know what? When you're a codependent person that is a doormat and you decide to not be that anymore...
To me, that was a seminal moment for you changing. When you're supposed to be there for 12 of her family reserving seats for them to all show up for a dinner,
and you
they keep changing the number, and you have to keep going up, and it's over an hour, and he just says, excuse my language, fuck it, I'm out.
Yeah.
Turns his phone off, and they're all there for a birthday party thinking there's someone there getting a room reservation. And no, my husband, he went AWOL. He Bergdolled it.
But I mean, isn't that cathartic, that moment you know it's over and you're just like...
He's been a different person ever since.
I dealt with the fallout for the weekend, and that was kind of the catalyst for her saying, I'm done. She just didn't know how to tell me. Because it was just at that point, like, I tried and tried and tried, and she didn't try. It was all my fault. And I stopped trying, clearly. And she was like, all right.
You're supposed to want to make me happy.
Right. And so...
That's literally,
I that Tuesday, we had a podcast.
Isn't that how every relationship ends? You're not, supposed not to want ones. To make me...
The good ones are reciprocal, you know. Yeah. The good ones are, you both want to make each other
I feel
happy.
Like Spangle and I may have lived the same life. Like, our lives may have crossed, you know, in one of those circular things where you draw two circles. And
I think so, too. Especially the romantic relationships you two entangle yourselves in.
And so, I have a podcast with Gina scheduled, and she brings her son, Vinny. And this unfortunately is lost to history. I wish I could find this. It was just too painful for me to edit. But it was a interview with her 5-year-old son, Vinny. It was adorable, and he cursed up a storm the whole time.
So and she was also dressed as a naughty copper superwoman.
No, that wasn't this time. But she had done that in the past. But she walked in.
There were benefits. There were perks.
She walked in, and there were people in the apartment, and I had not told her I was doing a podcast that night, and it was me and another woman having an in-depth conversation. And it made her jealous because we didn't have that anymore. And then so she left and went to the gym and came back. And then we were doing We Are Libertarians. And she decided to start packing her stuff. And so if you go back to the late February episode of We Are Libertarians, you hear me talking, and then I go silent. That is because I'm watching my wife pack up all her stuff. She left the house and she never came back.
And we finished.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it, like, because I was like, and then because Gina and I got into some philosophical thing about probably healing crystals and positive vibes.
How many times did she come home and say to you and Gina behind my back, I'm divorcing him?
Oh, yeah. Two times to me. Yeah. And then Gina, I'm sure, multiply more.
Yeah. So it wasn't something that was surprising. It was just another thing that was going to, you know.
I was like, are you sure?
Yeah. Like. And the people that knew me, her
he's
friends.
He's a celebrity.
Yeah.
He's Dear Leader.
I kept.
He has a libertarian podcast.
Like, what are you thinking?
Listen, yeah. I kept all the friends. Not that.
Yeah.
But, you know, the next couple weeks, we went to counseling on February 14th. On
you went
Valentine's
to joint counseling?
Day, on joint counseling.
Why did you do that?
Because it was.
He was making an effort.
The Hail Mary and. You know, it was basically, well, what can you do different? And I had a whole list of things that I had worked out in my head that I could do better over the last, you know, thought about it for 2 weeks and looked at her and said, what can you do better? And she said, nothing. I've tried everything. He doesn't change. And I just went.
You know, I once heard somebody very smart give me this observation about relationships, and it will stick with me forever and with my current wonderful, amazing, lovely girlfriend, Haley, who you love.
Oh, I love her. Yeah.
She's great.
She's great.
We love you, Haley. She will listen to this, by the way.
I think Haley's amazing. She's great for you.
Who's Haley?
That would be my girlfriend. My current wonderful girlfriend.
I haven't met her. What's she look
like? Really?
Never heard you talk about her, Rob.
She is
somebody you conversed with multiple times.
She is an adorable...
Not ringing a bell, sorry.
She's an adorable daywalker. She's not a ginger. She's like me. She's a daywalker. Chris is a daywalker.
Oh, yeah.
No, not anymore.
Kind of gingerish, but not a ginger.
So, somebody told me before I met Haley, and I looked at this... Before I got into a new relationship, they said they drew a picture of Niagara Falls, and they said, "Here in any relationship, here you are on the boat. Here's you on the boat." And they said, "Up until this point, you can hop out of the boat and you won't fall over the cliff. Mm-hmm. But there comes a point where if you don't get out of the boat, despite everybody telling you, Chris, you're going to fall over the cliff, and you stay in the boat, you're going to fall over the cliff. But if you get out of that boat before you cross that, you know, that line,
yeah."
That you're going to be okay. And it was like eye-opening for me. That like it's okay to get – what they were saying is it's okay to get out of a failed relationship. But if you stay in it long enough, then there's no turning back and it ends up really bad.
And that's like kind of where we were at.
That like Methodist guilt of if it doesn't hurt, it's not – I didn't really try. Like,
well,
it's
you
not
just use the term Methodist guilt.
Well, we both went to the Methodist church in Plainfield. And so it's the Calvinist ethic. Like if it feels good, it's bad. Yeah. And so, like, with a marriage, like, unless it is just devastating and I can barely crawl to the kitchen to get a drink of water, I didn't give it everything I had.
I was a much more devout Christian then than I am now, unfortunately. Much to my regret sometimes. I could do better, but couldn't we all? But when I said I do, I was in it for good. I was not getting divorced because I believe that two people can work anything out. I no longer believe that. I think that, you know, we got together because we didn't feel like we could find anybody else. And so it was a desperation, low self-esteem pick. And we didn't work. We didn't have the same, you know, I now realize through the many, many, many women I've dated over the last 2 years Like how
at this Poon Palace.
How important certain things are to me. I mean, I have a much better appreciation. That's why, like, even though there's an age difference with Emily and I, we have great chemistry, a great connection in terms of humor, intelligence, lifestyle, interest. I mean, it just works, and like that's because I have spent some time over the last 2 years getting to know who I am, what I need, what I like, dating, getting to know women. So I'm just, I'm in a better place.
You know who you are? You're like Bruce Springsteen after he met Patti Scalfa and the music got ruined. So don't let the woman ruin the music.
You're damn right.
That's a great analogy.
Bruce Springsteen was awesome until 1985, and then he met her and his music turned to crap for about 20 years.
So
don't let your podcast turn to crap.
No. Don't let her rob your
don't
soul.
Let her be Yoko Ono.
I think
say no to Yoko Ono. Yeah.
I think we've had really strong episodes since I've started paying attention to politics again.
Yeah, no, we definitely crossed the threshold. Like, Joe and I tried to keep it together.
Yeah.
You know, and
so what I was saying is, I couldn't do the podcast for a certain period of time.
Yeah.
And these guys, and it was so proud. I was so
proud
of
you. Did the podcast without you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I took it over, and then I even had Peffers come into my office one time.
It's like when Fox Mulder left the X-Files, and they had Robert Patrick
in
there.
Get out.
You're like the Robert Patrick of We Are Libertarians.
The Robert Patrick of We Are Libertarians.
You remember when Fox, David Duchovny left the X-Files, and they made the sub Mulder Scully?
I am the second Vivian in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I'm the stand-in mom.
So, yeah, I just was really proud because when I couldn't do it, Joe and Greg stepped in, and they did such a great job. I was really proud that, and I would say this about any of the co-hosts that we have on, if I'm not there, the podcast would be just as good.
Joe's a wonderful host. Like, we did an hour and a half interview with Mark Thornton, Dr. Mm-hmm. Mark Thornton, the economist at Auburn, and Joe was great because I know it wasn't really interesting to you, but that's like my... I was in heaven.
I thought that Mark Thornton interview was one of the best introductions to libertarianism I've ever heard.
Yeah, it was amazing, and it had I had no intent of it going down that path when it turned into like a brainstorming session on how to, I guess, infiltrate cultural mediums like film and arts in order to spread liberty.
Culture.
That is not a word or a phrase.
So
hot button.
So yeah, we are really
blessed.
We've talked about ourselves for an hour, which is what we do best.
We trumped, but, so now we should talk about
so
the Trump.
Let's talk about Galt a little bit, and then we're going to talk about Rob. We'll get to politics eventually, but this is fun. I'm having fun just kind of chatting about whatever. We don't even need politics at this point. But so
nobody
Galt,
needs politics.
Galt, you've kind of fallen away from politics. Do you follow it at all?
National stuff. Yeah, I read the news. I still follow the news, yeah.
Like an adult?
Yeah, a little bit. No, not the newspaper. Not the newspaper.
So do you have a lady?
No lady right now.
Single?
Yep.
You look thin, you look good.
Oh,
you
thanks
got
for saying that on the air.
You do. You got fresh new specs, good haircut.
I do have a good haircut right
you
now.
You do. You look fresh as hell.
Thanks.
So we're going to put up a photo of you. If you're single out there, Galt is a much different man than he was back then. He will not.
Are you on Tinder?
I am not on Tinder.
Have you ever been on Tinder?
I have been on Tinder.
How'd it work? How'd you do?
I did not do that great.
Me neither. Me neither.
Didn't work out for me. So I kind of installed it.
Listen, see if you identify with this. I did not do well on Tinder or Match or any of those dating sites because I'm a personality choice. But if you...
Yeah,
But the girls I've dated over the last year, I've met on Facebook, and they're all great, smart, beautiful, sexy women. Because and
they liked your personality,
and they like my personality. That's it. I've had a great time.
Spangle showed it to me tonight. It's the first time I think I've ever seen it sober.
Yeah,
and I think I remembered it like 10 roof or something one time.
Yeah,
but I was scared to death. Like, yeah. It was petrifying.
He was like, I'm going to get herpes? I'm like, no, these girls are never going to talk to you. I explained what it's like for a girl, which is like literally like Emily, my beautiful 20-year-old girlfriend, gets on Tinder, and it's like, swipe right, ding.
Send a pic.
Swipe right, ding.
Send a pic.
Emerge,
swipe ring,
it works
ding.
Much better in person
but
for us.
Yeah. And
yep,
it,
Chris
then
and Chris.
For me, I got on to show her what it's like for a normal guy, and she goes, okay, so how long have you been on? I said, 4 weeks. She goes, you have 13 matches. Said, yeah, Look through here. Would you go on a date with any of them?
None of them.
No.
None of them.
No.
She's in like six book clubs. No freaking way.
We got six book clubs. She's dressing up at Comic-Con and she weighs 450.
But Spangle and I were talking about before we went on air. We said we're of the age, because you're 32.
Right.
Same age as I am, although you're a little bit older than
September
me.
September
9th. Yeah, so a couple months older than me. We're like...
Thanks for pointing that out, asshole.
Yes, I am not the oldest person in the... How old are you?
30.
Okay.
Yeah. He just looks...
45.
And, yeah, it's because
like a Republican.
Yeah.
But we were pointing out, like, when we were dating, and probably the same for you, Greg, when we were dating, we're still dating. How awful is
yeah,
that?
Rob, yeah, Rob, thanks for... God. Yeah. What kind of podcast I come on and get broken up with by Rob Kendall?
So funny. It's so funny how the podcast has changed, because when I was married, it was all married people.
Yeah.
And then when now it's no married
people. And the peppers.
People. Yeah. So,
but when we were... It was like you'd see someone's picture on Facebook, and then you'd message them, and there was like the back and forth, and it was like...
Yep.
None of this instantaneous, like, you're seeing
nudes.
Someone's picture, and... Then you're meeting them at a Wendy's or something.
Right.
Spangle told me that it's great to meet in public places. Apparently.
Not a Wendy's.
Wendy's is the place to meet?
You go,
is that what I've been messing
are we
up?
In middle school?
Is this a rec night?
Wendy's.
We're going to go get
that
spicy
four for
value
four,
meals.
Man. That yeah. Four for four.
Four for four.
Don't eat it all at once, honey.
I, honest to God, the more I get to know Rob, the more I can't believe he pulls tens. I honestly, how did you pull a 10 like Haley when you're so broken and weird?
You're very aware of how I pull 10s.
Oh, that's right. The Coke can.
Please elaborate.
He's got a huge dick. Oh, he's got big
I
hands.
I was going more for the roster.
So
we're very direct, and we are libertarians. Yeah.
That's say, like the new Chris Spangle is what he said, right?
Too hard to nail can right there. He's putting his own to his lips.
Spangle tried to spend like an hour talking with my girlfriend.
Oh,
about...
I remember at Liberty and Chill. Yeah. He totally separated like, off and then told her how wonderful she was and how much she had to offer people.
I went to the restroom, and I come back, and I'm like, what are you guys talking about?
Hashtag
like,
besties.
She's sitting on my lap. We're talking about how...
Showing her that personality, right?
That's right.
About 5 minutes later, he's in the bathroom with a guy with a Make America Great hat on. Taking a picture while the dude's peeing.
I swear to God.
Not kidding.
I'm telling you, Haley and I have a connection. And Rob was sitting there just grinning, but really wanting to gulp my Creighton. I mean, he was just not having it at all. I mean, he was just like ready to put me in a headlock.
I never really liked that kid.
Asking Greg to sit on me. I mean, it was just...
I'm going to invite Jim Wallace on my show.
I come back and say... Because we were at the like in
we
the
were
line
talking
the, we were in the non line at the restroom for yeah. like an hour. It took like an hour for the person. For
well, the Indian guy was.
And
God,
I come back and like, what are you guys talking about?
Oh, yeah.
How did this happen?
Oh, I know everything about their sex life. Ask me a question, Greg. Go ahead.
Nope.
All right.
Nope.
No, but I do miss it though.
Yeah.
The politics.
Yeah.
I do miss it. Why, Young Americans for Liberty at IUPUI was. Some of the best times
Democracy
I ever had.
Democracy Plaza.
Oh, gosh. I had so much fun there.
I just want to go troll that so
oh,
hard.
Me too. Write up a bunch. You can. Like,
oh, my
it's,
God.
It's public. It's great.
I'm going to write up an endorsement from David Duke for IUPUI.
I mean, yeah.
Probably old. the best thing I ever did was help with that Gary Johnson event.
Yeah.
That was the most fun I had.
To this day, people say, what a
done.
Wonderful job you did planning that. Not kidding. And
yeah.
This is just me as an because I knew nothing about it. Mm-hmm. And they're like, Chris Galt pulled off a hell of an event.
It was bigger than I ever thought it was going to be when I first started it. I had to pull a lot of strings to get that done there. But
yeah,
it was
you are
great.
a skilled community organizer
yeah.
from what I hear. Like,
but he's grown a lot. I got him to, he made up with Lindsey Ferguson last year.
Yeah, okay. Over Snapchat.
Yeah.
Pass.
So, all right, guys.
But yeah.
Very good. So we thanked our advertisers. We're going to talk a little politics right now. We're going to get to some of the presidential stuff. I don't feel like this is going to be a very serious episode, but we had very serious episodes. We need to...
Should we talk about how we were thrown under the bus by Rob Kendall
yeah,
this
let's,
week?
Let's talk to Rob. So we've got a chance
I
to...
I got more publicity out of you guys the past week, and I knew as soon as he said it, I said, oh, that's gold.
And you let it go. And you know
I,
how
because
I
knew
am.
It was gold.
Yeah.
I am the most famous... Republican, elected Republican, libertarian journalist in the state.
Greatest tax cutter in Hendricks County
Move
history.
Move over, Abdul. Rob's coming in.
Sorry about that ding, everybody. As,
I prefer you way more to Abdul.
I want to play.
If we can ever get Garrison to retire, I feel like I'd be perfect to slide right into that slot.
You're a great American.
All right, so let me set
no,
this up.
No, we love
up.
Garrison. He's great. I've listened to him for years.
We had Rex Bell on. He's running for governor of Indiana. And we don't talk local politics. We had Rex on because we wanted, you know, we've been talking about the Libertarian Party a lot.
And Chris, all of a sudden.
That became my favorite saying, though, experienced journalist Greg Lenz, because you got that microphone in your hand like you're really.
He's really going to town.
He's really asking some hard questions.
Well, I did want to ask Rex, you know, because I think it's so important how you sell
Rex
liberty.
Bell, if you're indicted, will you not run for governor?
Don't be ridiculous. People like me don't get indicted. I'm a libertarian. I'm sovereign.
I don't need a license plate. Yeah.
It's my homestead, bruh.
If you're not watching Billions on Showtime, you really should get like a free.
Good.
Oh, it's great. Yeah.
Oh wow.
But it's funny, and one of the guys gets arrested, and he's like, "You have no authority over me." I'm like, "Yes."
Well, and I interviewed Rex too, and I thought he was a great guest.
Yeah. Oh, he's the best. He's such a nice man, and he's the best representative for libertarianism. I mean, Rupert has a huge appeal, and he's the big tent Trump type.
Yeah.
And, you know, he doesn't fit the mold.
Right.
But Rex is just, I mean, he's perfect on every issue. He's so folksy and relatable. He'd do anything for anybody. Like, he's Jesus Christ of libertarianism.
He's just
in Indiana. Like,
and he's, as you heard in that episode, he's just accomplished a lot. He's grown his party. He is
humble as anyone I've ever met.
He just clearly connects with Hoosier voters on a very strong level. And he is somebody that everybody in the party loves. Despite him being in the race, we had a guy who ran for governor here in 2012 named Jim Wallace.
Run is a bit strong.
So, well, he tried. And
he didn't get his signatures.
He did. The Republicans kicked him off. Yeah, barely, but the
another
Republicans.
Another Bob Grand Christmas miracle.
Yeah, so Mike Pence was running, and Jim Wallace got 2,000 signatures thrown out because the Marion County Republicans went before the election board run by Republicans, and they kicked
Barnes and Thornburg specifically.
Republican. I don't know.
At that time, was it more Baker Daniels?
No. Wallace would have been an Ice Miller.
That was his issue.
Or he might have been a Lewis and John, yeah.
If he was Ice Miller, that was his problem.
Yeah. And so,
you guys laugh.
We just named the three law firms that run the state.
Until the French bought Baker Daniels, and now they surrendered.
Faber-Bajet.
Yeah.
they don't fight.
So Wallace got 2,000 signatures kicked off the ballot. He didn't hire a lawyer.
When he told me that, and I had forgotten that. What was he thinking?
He was.
I mean, the guy's got more money, sneezes out more money in a day
than we earn
in a year.
He loaned himself $900,000. You might as well spend $2,500 on an attorney.
He loaned his campaign almost $1 million, and he didn't go in there because he trusted the Republicans when they said, "Ah, we get you, bro." The guy who just said that to you is the one prosecuting you, you know? And so, you know, Mitch Daniels and Mike Pence called Mitch Robe, who was head of the election commission at that time, who was the hatchet man, and Eric Holcomb, who lied to his face, and he still believed he got kicked off the ballot. It's just insane.
But now he's a Pencertarian.
Yeah, so now Jim Wallace has found Jesus in the last 3 months. And decided at some point
November 1st,
I think, was when he joined the Libertarian Party. And so here's a guy who, listen, he has a great resume. I talked to him in 2010 about running for governor, and we had a nice 2-hour conversation. Found him to be a very nice, charming man. We then, you know, he was a West Point grad, went to Harvard Business. I think he went to Harvard. I don't know where
Harvard
he went to
MBA. And then
Harvard MBA.
After that, went to work for Bain, Bain Management Consulting.
He worked with Romney.
Yeah, he started Bain, a venture capital fund for Bain, spun it out.
Well, and I'm sure you're going to get this, but if you take away the stuff with Wallace, he's a very compelling.
To which stuff are you referring?
Well, we'll get to that in a second.
I am totally in the dark. Please illuminate this for me.
He's run several companies, worked at or with SpaceX. I mean, he is an attractive candidate, with the exception of 2 arrests for domestic violence, separated by 10 years with 2 different women, 2 different wives. And, you know, I'm not here, I'm being accused of playing an online attorney by Wallace himself, but that's not what I'm doing. My problem is not what happened in those events.
You know, he'd be like the guy from Happy Days,
Ronnie Howard,
Fonzie, yeah. When he was on Arrested Development. Yes.
That's exactly.
Henry Winkler.
I don't get that.
Hey,
no, I'm just kidding.
I take it as an insult.
Yeah,
you're on my list.
Oh no, another establishment list.
You know, he was a very active candidate, and he did a good job, but at the same time, that campaign ruined his life, self-admittedly. And, you know, Galt, you can explain what a campaign is like. It's very stressful.
Oh, yeah. It takes a lot of work. Yeah. You don't sleep.
Yeah. yeah.
You have to plan for things to go wrong all the time.
Right.
All the time.
And so, you know, and so his marriage dissolved in a very unfortunate fashion, you know, but it's...
Stress.
Diamond cutter.
I have talked to both sides, and both sides have very different versions of reality, but are very sure that their version of reality is the truth.
Now, you want to hear what a small world this is? Because I know his ex-wife very well, and I actually performed the marriage ceremony at her...
That's
wedding.
Interesting, yeah.
Which is where part of our beef comes from.
Right.
Are you saying I was a biased journalist?
I'm saying you let us be run over, but you did it wisely because it helped.
So Wallace said that he would be running for governor of Indiana. And, you know, I found out, and I knew that he had some problems in his previous campaign because I had been close to that campaign because we were friendly with their campaign because they were going up against Pence. They were, almost like independent Republicans, and we were libertarians. And so we had a lot of crossover.
I was working for Pence as a county coordinator at the time.
Yeah.
And I hated all you guys.
I know. Well, we hated you too.
But we were very cordial when we'd see each other out in public.
Sure.
I said, that guy looks nice in a tie-dye shirt. I want to be his friend someday.
I grinned. Grinned
he has a podcast network, and I'm looking for a place to host mine.
Yeah. He looks miserable in his personal life. I'll befriend him.
Rob is definitely – I play Jolly very well. Rob is definitely the most Republican of all the people, of all the regular guest hosts that we have here on the show. But
saying that, he's like – he is probably absolutely hated as of right now based on who you're working for and supporting.
So we...
Yeah, well, but I mean, look, I'm hated by lots of people. As long as you're loved by 50% plus one, or in my case, 65% of the voters in your community, you're great.
Well, so here's the problem that some people have is they get emotional about politics, and I've worked in politics for over 10 years, and you just can't. And it's easy to do, and I'm an emotional person. But just because Rob's voting for Trump and Greg says he's voting for Trump... It's like, it doesn't make them, like, a worse human being. It just makes them wrong.
We just want a great America. That's right. Well, not a crime.
It's interesting. So I spent basically 8 hours out in the rain today. It was raining today, knocking on doors. And you realize, as you do this enough, that the average person is not, you know, we're all emotionally invested in some capacity.
Sure.
But the average person is not looking at it that way. They're not that involved in it. They're looking about who they think will do the best job. And that's what you're doing when you're talking to the average person, is talking about why your candidate you support, whether they're libertarian, Democrat, Republican, independent, will do the best job. And
how you make their life more convenient and easier.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, what are the principles? What's the background of this person? What do they stand for? And I've talked about this on the show before. I always try to vote for a libertarian in every election cycle if there's a viable one.
Yeah.
Because I think it's good for government. I think it's good to hold the two parties accountable. And I think there may be a couple libertarians I could
Rex would probably be somebody that appeals to you over Pence and John Gregg.
Yeah, Rex is very interesting because one, Rex is from Hagerstown, and as I told Rex in the interview, my mother has had friends and family out there, so we used to go to Hagerstown, and we played the 1996 Little League Baseball State Finals in Hagerstown.
The dynasty, the birthing of the dynasty.
When Brownsburg Little League Baseball Dynasty was formed, we were state runner-up, and I will always be grateful to Hagerstown. So Rex is an interesting guy to me because he's from Hagerstown.
Yeah, and Rex, you can hear, I go back and read some of his pieces that he wrote 15 years ago, 10 years ago, and he's saying the same things at meet and greets that he was saying then, you know, and... Rex was my choice to run for governor. I wanted him to. I was really excited. I mean, I haven't been involved in the party in 3 years just because I wanted to give the other guy space. I wanted to take a break. And then my life fell apart, and I spent 2 years picking it up. And having gone through a divorce, although not a contentious divorce, you know, I'll be honest. When we separated, my ex-wife told two separate mutual friends at different times that I was abusive. And you know what happened? They laughed in her face because they know me and they know my true character.
And I punched her.
No.
I'm just kidding.
No, I never, ever, ever called my ex-wife a bitch.
No, you did one post, tagged almost all your friends, and said, "This is what happened. We've split up. I don't ever want to hear you say a negative word."
And that's one thing that I've always found noble, because the worst thing to me is when somebody breaks up with somebody and then they go on the tirade about that person. And
play politics.
Well, yeah, they do. I've been very, yeah. I have been very fortunate that every person that I've dated, I've been very respectful of them, of course, because that's who I am. But they've been respectful in return. So no matter what I might think of them, well, publicly. What you do in your own time is up to you.
But, I wish we'd have recorded the 45 minutes before Galt showed up.
Careful.
But I'm just kidding. I think that was very classy of you, because I can't imagine going through a divorce, much less a, you know, I know what, how difficult a breakup is.
It's intensely painful. So I am not empathetic. I'm empathetic. Okay, I understand.
By the way, for your listeners who, if they're ever invited on the show, whatever happens in Spangle's apartment before the recording starts stays in the apartment. It's a great, very therapeutic.
It's very backroom Republican, if you will.
I do have a video camera running, and I can
at all times
sell the audio and video.
He told me that he's Harry got something that drapes out of the sky, and yeah. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, well, that was something very specific. I'll tell you later. But I never should have unplugged that camera. Yeah, I am empathetic, and as a person who has gone through tough times, I understand what it means to come through those tough times and have that mold and shape you.
And you're one of those people that I would say 9 times out of 10, you're the first person to give someone the benefit of the doubt,
yep.
Especially some, like, you know. Yeah, I mean,
they both pointed at me.
No, I responded to his pointing. No, but I mean, like, I you know, with Galt, like, you let it go and said, "Don't hit him." You know, you tried to you almost violated the NAP if Creighton hadn't chokeholded you.
I mean, there were 3-4 weeks before I said, you know,
oh, yeah.
I gotta ask Galt to stop coming on the podcast.
If he saw that Fox News fluoride article, I'm not kidding. One more time in chat,
but
he'd have violated the NAP.
But the truth, and the guys were all like, "Do it. Shoot old Yeller." And I was like, "No, I love Chris. I don't want, you know, I want to give him one more chance. He can fix it." And then he, you know, but you know, but the thing is that particular time, now you come back and now you're with us, and it's great because we didn't really fight. You know, I just chose not to engage, and you
a
didn't
mutually understood sort of
get out of here.
I can really tell you've changed a lot because I noticed the Canadian hacky sack up there, and that never would have been in your old place for sure.
He did some ancestral looking. Turns out.
You know what? I'm gonna beat,
you're one of those sleeper spies.
I'm gonna beat your
He's
ass.
Related to Ted Cruz.
But I've done a lot of work on myself, and I've changed. And
so, like, that's know, what I mean with Wallace, is that you would be the first one to be his advocate.
I knew him, and I have always thought that he is libertarian in his leanings. And in the past 2 months, when I sat down with his campaign, I said, "Listen, you got a big problem. You have to be upfront, open, honest, vulnerable, and really show people that you're not that guy. People aren't going to trust your temperament, and you are a single issue candidate. Did you or did you not beat your wives? And will you do it again?" And
the nightmare. I mean,
I'm sorry, I'm not the bad guy for saying that. And you're not even the bad guy for
that being alleged.
It it doesn't matter what happened. It's just that those arrests are there and it's public record, and you have to deal with it in an open and honest way.
Authentic.
And it doesn't mean that there's, you know, I've been told to shut up in the name of party unity and not bring this up. And I have held my tongue for a while, and it wasn't until Rob's podcast where I was like, you know what? I'm just going to be truthful, because I've watched him go around to Libertarian Party delegates and not talk about this, not have a good answer when people do bring it up, and when people find out, and that, you know, because the Libertarian Party of Indiana is a small group of people who've known each other for a long time, and it's not an old guard, it's not an establishment, it's just a group of friends who, you know, have made up the core. In any nonprofit organization, it's 4 people that run it. And, you know, we're all networked together, and we come together at convention. We see each other once a year, and we talk. And, you know, the amount of half-truths that have been caught by us kind of communicating with each other
This would never be a contested race if he had a good answer to that question.
I'm the first person to stand up and say, "Hey, did y'all know about this? Did you not Google him?" And you know, he talked to certain people and they said, well, he just said it was he said, she said. And I said, that's not necessarily what happens in a pre-trial. First of all, in a he said, she said, you don't get arrested. You don't then have the prosecutor pick it up. And then you don't get a pretrial diversion. Well, you're not a lawyer. Yeah, I'm not a lawyer, but I also spent, and Greg will vouch for this, I also spent all of 2014 with a family out of the Julian Center, which is the local battered women's shelter, living in my apartment, working with her through case law. I understand what the thresholds and levels for domestic violence are.
What it takes to actually get arrested is...
This
not just an allegation tossed out over drinks.
My friend is a woman who is of no means and is still not divorced after 4 years of being away from this person. This person is evil incarnate, okay? This person is a terrible human being. And she has gotten zero protection from the state, from DCS, from any organization within the government. And privately, nonprofit organizations, they failed her. And they have not pursued her case. And
ignored her and tossed her aside.
And he has abused this family multiple times for many years. I have, and by having her in my life, by helping her, by raising items for donation, I've come in contact with a lot of other women that have been abused. So...
And to your credit, you were still, when he was considering it, before he had formally announced and he announced his first meet and greet, you still were willing to sit down
I sat down with him for an hour and talked it through it. And
you didn't make your decision beforehand.
And
you
I
gave
went,
him the benefit of the doubt.
I went into the conversation with a much harsher view of him than when I left the conversation.
Mm-hmm. So let's just say he did whatever he was accused of.
Mm-hmm.
Would if he'd have said that, would that have also cut you off from him?
I don't think he's fit to be on our ballot because
he's
had
a federal kind of guy, not state.
I've
like Ted Kennedy.
I am not interested in the events of what happened. What happened to me is, not something that the truth. You like I said, there's two versions of reality. I've heard both. And I've seen evidence that makes me believe that his version is much softer than the truth. And the fact is that even if that weren't the case, you've got to be really, really, really good at messaging it to get past it. Because as a libertarian, Galt can tell you, as a libertarian candidate, what is it like to run for office? You're a campaign manager for a campaign, a well-funded $60,000 city council campaign here in Indianapolis, you know, for 20,000
people. It's
about like
if we all woke up tomorrow and decided we were going to go climb Mount Everest.
Right.
We wouldn't make it.
Without a guide.
Yeah, all just by ourselves.
And no money for resources. You walked up with a t-shirt.
Yeah.
You know,
no resources, nothing.
It's that difficult. And that is a person who was on the Indianapolis City County Council, who had $60,000 raised.
Oh, yeah. And we knocked on every single door in his entire area.
Every single, yep. And you know what? He got 20% of the vote. 20%. So
we had poll workers at every single place.
As a candidate,
for a libertarian, that's a big deal.
You're starting from less than zero because of we have something called straight ticket voting, which is enabling lazy voters, and so people just walk in and push a button for their whole party as opposed to like actually using their brain.
Yep. Tax cut, higher taxes.
On full level. So
it's kind of the way it is in Indiana.
So and then
they
in
all
the
hate gays.
Age of the internet and the low information voter, you've got a big Google problem if your story was in the Daily Mail overseas in London, if you were in all the tabloids. And I'm sorry if you feel that you were misrepresented in the tabloids, because you probably were. But that still exists out there. And that, for the low information voter, makes them go, you don't get the benefit of explaining it.
The only reason I ask that is because after the interview, which, by the way, you can hear the interview that they're going to play part of at wyrz.org. The show is Central Indiana Today, 7 7:30 each weeknight on 98.9 WYRZ in Hendricks County. Unless I'm out knocking on doors, then we take a few days off here recently. But
you need some fill-in time?
Hey, you guys are welcome to come to the show. No calls to action, though. Just remember that. I worry about you guys in the calls to action.
Calls to action like...
You can't tell people to do stuff.
Like what?
Like go to our website at We're Libertarians?
Yeah, you podcast? Like you probably you can do that. You could give the website.
So you can't like plug your radio show on my podcast?
No, you don't have that bound because you're not bound by the FCC.
You do. Yeah.
Yeah. That's right.
What are you saying? You can't have us on and say go to WeAreLibertarians.com.
Go subscribe.
You can give the website. Yeah, you cannot say go subscribe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What rules are you under?
It's non-commercial radio. It's like public broadcasting.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. Because I'm on commercial radio. We can plug whatever.
Well, you're on the internet, so you can do whatever you want.
No. I'm saying on Bob and Tom.
Oh, yeah. Live
Angel.
It's like a coffee, tea, and poetry night, but for radio.
Yeah.
So anyway, if you want to hear WYRZ.org is the website. But
great show, by the way.
Thank you. You guys have been on there. It's excellent. If you would be willing to fight Creighton, I would have you on as well.
Oh, that would be so awesome.
Let me introduce you to what libertarianism is like.
We can do some play-by-play of them fighting.
Bro, you don't want to do that. He's jacked as F.
But after the show, you asked me, after you heard the podcast, you said, Rob, why didn't you ask him about the abuse? And the point I made to you was, I said, everybody already knows about it. And everybody has an opinion one way or another. And that's why I asked you. I said, if he'd have told you no or he'd have told you yes, would it have changed your mind? And you basically said, no.
No.
So that's why I didn't ask him about it, because everybody that's going to vote at that convention, that's who you're talking to at this point, is the people that are going to vote that libertarian convention. They all know about it.
But here's the problem with that. Yes, I'm a no, but my no is not because of whatever happened, because I don't know. I can't know what happened. And I can assume, but that's not the reasonable, rational thing to do. That's not the nice thing to do. The best thing to do is say, okay, this happened. What's your version? And as a person who will cast a delegate vote, how do you make our down-ballot candidates or anyone that calls themselves a libertarian, how do you make them comfortable with defending that? How do you explain it? How do you... And if in the last 2 months there had been some, you know, strategy or messaging, then I probably wouldn't be as vocal as I'm being right now. But the
because I know people who, if he had answered that authentically and owned it up and said, I made a huge mistake, they would be supporting him right now.
And you know what has happened is he's covered it up. He's not wanted to talk about it. Anytime I've brought it up publicly, he throws me in a chat room with, you know, other people and starts chastising me and telling me I'm harming the party and
divisive
and
establishment.
And you know what? That's to me like the opposite way to deal with
it. When he said that, by the way, I knew I had radio gold.
You did.
I just let him go.
So we'll play.
I got messaged immediately by Chris Mayo.
Yeah.
He was like, you're Jeb. You guys are Jeb. Like, no one calls me
Jeb. I was like, that wasn't the response I expected.
Nobody
but
calls me Jeb.
Yeah, so and the problem that he has and why he is probably going to lose to Rex, I would almost guarantee it, is that he goes around, you know, not only has he been downright rude to some of our county chairs and they're just like, I tried to give you a chance, okay. You know, he's a Republican. You know, for the libertarians, he's a Republican who just found Jesus in November. And wants
Man,
to run.
We've had a lot of those.
Yeah,
he's a disillusioned. Change it from
Gold.
The insider.
How many promises? I'm going to bring in a lot of money, and I'm going to change it, and we're going to have fountains of Republicans switching to the Libertarian Party. Man. How many of those have we heard over the years?
I can't even count.
Then you get fifth in the Iowa caucus.
Right.
Literally. Yeah. I mean, that's the same case. Like. What? That's what happens is you end up
you
not
believe,
having a home.
He said, do you believe him that he could raise that sort of money?
No.
I do.
Because he didn't when he ran as a Republican. No.
He
no,
lent
he
it
didn't.
To himself.
He lent it to himself.
Yeah.
And money's money.
It didn't get spent. At all, but that was my contention is will it be spent?
Yeah.
Is it a donation that we have full control over? Does someone else have access over how it's spent? Because then it's not real. You know, and the other thing is, too, he has a great message, and Jim's a worker. Like, Jim is an absolute worker.
Absolutely.
No one goes out and shakes hands and kisses babies and presents a message like Jim.
He's a compelling guy.
Oh, absolutely.
He's got the bio. He ran a really hard campaign in 2012. I had a lot of respect for the way that he handled that race. I think he made some tremendous errors that led to him getting kicked off the ballot. But by and large, if he didn't have these two issues, I don't think there'd be anybody in the party who'd have a problem with him. It's not an ideology thing.
He'd be lieutenant governor for the Republican Party right now.
Yeah.
Honestly, with his background.
So I just have to wonder why a guy who has that kind of bio is now, you know, is, I don't know. So here's the reason. So
here's where Rob threw us under
the guy
bus.
With the great radio voice is Rob, by the way.
Yeah, Rob Kendall.
Is to be genuine and honest.
Oh, God. Why is Brett Bittner talking?
Second to that, I would say be
get our guest to Jim Wallace.
Right, just listen to this at my own pace.
I am a registered Republican. I was elected as a Republican. I call myself a Republican. I'm very honest with people, though. I have a lot of libertarian views. So watching libertarian politics, to me, it's like the family that you get to go see them during Christmas, and then like it's fun for like 5 hours, and then you get to leave.
National Lampoon Vacation comes to mind.
Right. Yeah. But I've and Chris Spangle and Greg Lenz are probably going to kill me for saying this, but I've sort of broke the Libertarian Party down into two factions.
Uh-huh.
There's longtime Libertarian guy and new Libertarian guy. I would classify you as more new Libertarian guy.
Yeah.
What sort of reception do you get from people? Because you're a big name. People know you. You're sort of a
all right. First of all, let's talk about old Libertarian guy and new Libertarian guy.
Now let's,
what does that mean, Rob?
So let's start with a guy that is an elected or formerly elected Republican. Mm-hmm. All right, once you're
Hamilton
elected,
Hamilton Town
Republican,
County.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've been elected. It's
yeah,
okay.
I mean,
you're like,
overwhelmingly, yeah. I was very popular.
The greatest tax cutter in Hendricks County
history. I was the
most prolific
tax cutter in the history of Hendricks County. No one can deny that. won every candidate I supported. Won. It was overwhelming last year. I got outspent 100-1 in the school referendum. Won. People like me in my best Donald
Trump. I'm a uniter.
Trump,
I'm a uniter.
In my best Donald Trump voice. People really like me, okay? And I'm going to go hawk some water and wine and steaks after the
I've been doing that in
my
chat.
My opponent's very nice, but he's a loser.
It's my favorite thing to do is I go into chat and I start talking like Donald Trump. And I don't know if you realize
oh,
I'm doing
it. Oh, I do, because that's why I troll you back.
Like, I'm like, today I said, I'm very funny. Listen, we all know I'm hilarious. I am so funny.
I'm dying, people, and the other guys are like, "What is Jesus? What a dick!"
People say about me all the time that they love how funny I am.
So here's the deal. This is from an outside guy looking in who votes on a somewhat regular basis for libertarians. I really see the Libertarian Party as having, and we talked about this on the podcast before, that I really see the Libertarian Party as being sincere, true libertarians, such as yourself, Greg. Fluoride guy over here.
Chris. Free your mind.
Mr. Chris.
Rhodes.
Guys that are genuinely passionate about what they believe. They are genuine in their, you know, like I said, I will never forget you looking at me saying, I'm not even sure if there should be police. And I thought that's only, you're going to hear that only on a We Are Libertarians podcast. And it was a good conversation that we had after that.
Yeah.
And then I see people who...
It's certainly, but it's theoretical.
Yeah, sure.
Let's flush it out.
But you are genuine in your libertarianism. You're genuine in the willingness to, you'll see the party through to your dying day. You will be with it forever and always.
Maybe.
That
sounds a bit establishment.
No, I will be true to the philosophy till my dying day.
Sure.
I implement the libertarian philosophy of the, which is basically the golden rule in my personal life. It's very important to who I am. But the party, I can take or leave the party.
Sure,
you know?
But you understand what I'm saying. I think there are a lot of people who become libertarians out of either convenience or for publicity, or because it's the hip thing to do, or it's a way to get elected.
They have a vendetta and want ballot access.
You know, whatever the deal is, and you see them come and you see them go. And I know you love this guy, but I'm telling you, Gary Johnson's one of them because he ran as a Republican for president, only ran as Libertarian for president because he couldn't get the Republican nomination.
Sure, but he also went to Libertarian meetings in 1994.
I'm not down yet, but let's Let's keep it in perspective. The guy was a Republican. He was an elected Republican.
So was Ron Paul.
So was Bob Barr.
So you're saying people can't change?
No. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying in the same election cycle, that's kind of crazy.
The Republican Party has
more than one election cycle in a row.
But he was
as a Libertarian.
He was the sitting Republican governor of New Mexico, ran for Republican as president, then didn't get
almost
that.
Almost a decade
and
ago.
And then became the Libertarian nominee for governor in the same
And context
cycle.
Actually dictates a lot of that. A Western Republican has to be libertarian.
Yeah, you're right.
Ronald Reagan had to ignore social conservatism, pay, you know, in order to form a coalition, he had to say, oh, my God, Jesus, and then tax cuts, get out of here. You know, he was kind of like Mitch Daniels.
Well, this is sort of where people go wrong. A political party is an empty vessel. It is a tool created by election code to get people elected to office.
You're right.
So a political party to me has no meaning. Like, if the Libertarian Party were the monopoly party and we had super majorities and it was violating what I believe to be libertarian principles, I wouldn't support it anymore.
No. But what I'm saying is, and this is one point Wallace made, and I'm paraphrasing here, that made sense. And on this, I agree. I want to see the libertarians do well. And I wrote a whole column for Forefront on this, because the Libertarian Party, I think, is the only party that can potentially break up that two-party cartel that's running the country. I don't think any other third party has a viable way to get people elected.
Stop hitting the thing.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Is that causing
us? Yes.
I should know better than
that. You should. It's your microphone.
As a trained radio broadcaster. Maybe if I had some headphones.
But, yeah, Gary, for instance, Gary Johnson is going to be on all 50 ballots. He is the third party.
Sure, absolutely. And I want to see the Libertarian Party do well, because I think giving a viable third party makes the Democrats and the Republicans better. And I think this is a very important election for the Libertarians in the state of Indiana, because you guys did so well, thanks in large part to you picking good candidates, thanks in part to Richard Murdoch, thanks, you know,
God bless divine rape.
Yep.
God bless it. I mean, if it hadn't been for that.
Oh, man.
No, I mean, and, like, you know, not even kidding. That's that's what he said.
Yeah.
Divinely inspired rape.
But I think this is a very important election for Libertarians, and I want to see you guys do better, because I think, and you have a high bar to meet based on how you did in 2012, because people are looking at the Libertarians. This is the ultimate year for outsiders and third parties and people to do well. And I just think it's important the Libertarians get it right, because I'd like to see you guys get to that 10% threshold. I'd like to see the Libertarians do well.
I feel like I hear the same thing every time, every election. It's the same theme over and over again. Libertarian's the only way to go, and nothing ever changes after the election.
It's the exact
same thing.
Yeah.
I really think there's a lot of anger towards the Democrats and Republicans this time that maybe that there hasn't been.
No, there's definitely
–
It's always been there. There has been – I heard this today. That, I mean, there was a firewall from the Tea Party with the presidential race. That firewall is gone in the presidential race. It was there congressionally, but now the Tea Party that started 6 years ago has
– oh, God.
The wildfire has spread to where now it's Trump and Cruz.
It's Ben Carson. Like, the Tea Party was Ben Carson's support, literally. Like, that's what it materialized into.
So, in the crux of your question, are you basically saying that Jawalis is an opportunist and has no principle? I mean, so that's
why I asked him the question, to let him explain it. Because when I do these interviews, I don't do them to do gotcha. I don't do them to sensationalize. Whether I'm sitting down with Jeff Cardwell, who's the head of the Republican Party, or whoever it is, we get great guests on the show. I mean, we do get really, really awesome guests for a station that covers, not to be Trump, but I mean, you look at the list of people that we
get. My guests are great.
I mean,
well, we are Libertarians being...
Now, look.
That radio station in AMO is a total loser.
But you look at the guests that we get, and by the way, the offer still extends to Governor Pence to come on the show. I would really like to get Governor Pence, would like to sit down and talk to him, but... my goal with this show is to educate people on the public policy positions, on the things that will affect people's lives, and the sensationalism, whether in this case a Wallace, it's the abuse issue, or whatever it might be, leave that to the people. They're going to form their opinion the same way you have based on the facts.
Now, that's not necessarily entirely true, because a lot of the delegates that weren't familiar with them had no, you know, in northern Indiana and southern
Indiana.
Are
they that lazy, though, that they're not going to Google these people?
Yes, look at the world we live in.
But the Libertarians are supposed to be like...
No.
Into it.
No. A lot of them, you know.
But, I mean, we're talking...
Mind waves, internets.
January, February, no. But then once you get to the... By the time you get to the convention, and here's the problem for Wallace that he created for himself. He didn't talk about it, and he soft-sold it, and said it was he said, she said, and then people later have found out about the first incident, and that there were two.
And then they search a second time.
And then they search a second time, and then they go, whoa...
But that just proves my point. People are finding it out. I've got 23 to 25 minutes to talk with the person. And the one sensational question I guess I asked him, because I don't think he's ever been asked, was whether he was running to get even with Pence. And he gave an answer to that, whether you believe it or not.
Yeah, but the predictable answer, right?
Well, sure. But the point is, I've got so much time. Now, I will tell you, we have invited both candidates, Rex and, mm-hmm. and Wallace. Wallace is accepted, still waiting to hear back from Rex. I hope he does, to have a debate on the radio station. And I can tell you that I would not have a problem asking him that question in a debate format. And I think he would expect that in a debate format.
Well, I think he should. And I think that he should welcome the question, and he should welcome talking about it. But what has happened is private messages to me telling me I'm hurting the party, when frankly, dude, I
if anyone's grown the party more, it's probably
Rupert, bro. Rupert.
Well, their response,
tie dye.
The response to you was ridiculous. Of course, you guys handled it with humor and sarcasm, as you do everything else, which was great. You guys came out coming
trolled.
Out of it. Yeah, I mean, it
Well, here, so here, let's finish the question. I wanted to ask you about the question that you asked. I wanted you to kind of explain that more in depth, because to me, as a libertarian, yes, there is probably old guard, new guard, but really I don't see it that way. When you become it's not like establishment. Like, to me, the whole establishment thing is just it's a myth. You know, there are people who are more entrenched in the Republican Democratic Party, but at the same time, like, Donald Trump is supposed to be anti-establishment, but the fact is the dude is a billionaire self-financing his campaign and has donated to people like Hillary Clinton.
But I mean, he came out and said in his acceptance speech, there is no such thing as establishment.
It isn't, no.
And, like, the people are like, oh, my God.
Right.
I hate him.
And if you make
it, I can't like this.
And Donald Trump is the perfect reason why you should vote for Gary Johnson or a third party. If
no,
enough,
Chris.
If
China has a wall you can see from space. We need one, too.
To keep the Huns out. But you have
solid point.
Right? That's why I'm voting
can't
for
can't argue with that.
Huns.
But...
didn't that poll very high in the the Michigan exit polling? What is our biggest national threat? Huns.
Every time.
But see, like in the Indiana Republican Party, a Bob Grand exists. But a Bob Grand, if you're Bob Grand, you find what we said about him earlier laughable.
Because you know it's true.
Right. Well, yeah, partly. But you also think, like, if you knew how many people don't listen to me. You know what I mean? Like, trust me, I work on the largest radio comedy show in the history of radio, and people send us, like, the most ridiculous, like, we had one person leave the show, and someone else has been filling in for her, and the theory was that we took the weekend and edited out all the laughs of this one person and put in Pat's laughs.
Control-alt-deleted her from...
Right.
All of the show history.
Do you know how stupid you sound? Like, when you're on the other end of, like, the public, you go, wow, you're really saying some crazy shit, and you don't know what you're talking about. Because when you're on my end, you go, listen, I know you're right.
She's right here on Twitter.
You know,
she's stuck conversing with us.
But that's my point. Like, the establishment is really kind of a figment of it. It has become a very convenient smear because it works.
But and a good example of that is... when the state treasurer's race at the convention, that group backed a specific candidate. He did not win, and I think the right person ended up in the job. The person I voted for three times, Kelly Mitchell, because I'm a total winner. Mm-hmm. People I support win elections. I mean, you look at Donald Trump doing very well in all the polls, right? I mean,
is there a Kendall Tower in Main Street in Brownsburg?
What I'm telling you is I have a good pulse on who I think will win, where the people are. It's not some you know, gift, like Superman gift.
You talk to people. You get out and you shake hands.
You just have a great sense of perception.
I mean, I went into the state convention 2 years ago, and I was one of the few people saying, Kelly Mitchell's going to be your state treasurer. And everybody said, well, no, it's going to be Bates or Siebold because they've got the support. They've got the passion. I said, but neither one of these two guys, people are going to vote for the other one once one of them drops out. Kelly Mitchell's the only option, you know. And it was true. It's not rocket science.
No, but people so often don't want to see what's right in front of
because
them.
Because people get emotionally attached to outcomes.
Totally. Absolutely.
You do. But so going back to the point, and I think you took it a little different than I did. I don't think he was smearing you. I don't think he was.
Well, let's play the clip then, and then you give your analysis of what you thought, and we'll tell what we
I don't have headphones, so I'll be able to hear this.
Tell me how I should feel, Rob.
Right.
Why don't you do what you do best and tell me how I feel? You told me. I'm just kidding.
All right.
Perception do you get from people? Because you're a big name. People know you. You're sort of a score in a lot of people's eyes for the Libertarian Party. Well, what do people say when you go out and talk to them about being a Libertarian? Is there an eye of wariness? What's it like?
Your perception is very accurate. It's funny. There's an old guard inside of a party that despises old guardedness. And I find that, you know, ridiculously humorous. Chris Spangle and Greg Lenz are friends of mine, but I think they tend to anchor that libertarian faction that really hankers for purity. They would much rather be a club and die with ultimate integrity, but no pragmatism. While there's a whole new raft of folks who are disenfranchised with the Democratic and the Republican Party, just looking for government to provide the basics and otherwise stay out of their life. Those are the new libertarians that we're really appealing to.
Lewis in the studio, one of America.
So let me say this first. I think it was not smart
to put my name in your mouth.
It was not smart for him to say that. I had a feeling that was where he was going to go when I asked the question. I would not certainly have said it that way. I think when you're in a delegate fight, it's not a general election. It's not a primary where everybody shows up and votes.
Drought, really.
Yeah, I think that was the wrong thing to say. You are the last person, if I were running for a libertarian primary spot,
dear
that
leader.
I would pick a fight with.
Dear leader.
I haven't talked to Galt in 3 years. Right. And Galt has no awareness that any of this is going on, correct?
Right.
Yeah, this is the first you're hearing all of
first
this.
First time.
And he's the reason Gary Johnson had a huge event in Indiana
right.
4 years ago.
But Galt and I worked. Galt was really the guy that, like, I wanted to succeed.
I remember.
He was Protégé. The guy that I wanted. Yeah, wanted. I wanted to hire Galt. I wanted him to take over for me. We worked closely, and I taught him my business. Explain what I did from 2008 to 2012.
So
he's
you
very
told,
wonderful.
There's three different kinds of people. There's candidates. There's campaign managers, and there's executive directors.
There's party builders.
Party builders. Organizers,
right?
Candidates, you know, they gotta be a people person. They gotta have the face for it, like him. They gotta
those
look
golden
good.
Pipes.
Yep, right. They gotta look good.
I'm beautiful.
The campaign
beautiful,
managers
beautiful
were
person.
Like Evan. They gotta stay up late. They gotta drink a lot of coffee.
Ornery bastards.
They gotta be a little bit crazy. Right. But the party builders, those are the organizers. That's what you did.
Right.
You organized. You brought in all the college. I don't remember. I mean, before I was met you, I don't remember any college age libertarians in the Libertarian Party, and I remember a lot of them that election cycle. Mm-hmm. I don't know about now because I haven't been involved. Probably
right.
not. But that's what you did. You built the party.
I'm a good networker.
Yep.
My skill networked. Is building networks of people.
And brought
I mean,
those people together. I met so many people through you, like
right.
Sam Goldstein and stuff.
And I've said this, and I mean it. And I think I've even said this on your show, and I was kind of half joking, but serious. If I were to ever run for another office again, I would genuinely ask the both of you to help me run that campaign in some capacity. Mm-hmm. If I could... If you believed in me and what I was going to try to accomplish, now I don't know if you could ever support a Republican.
I could. I would support you, but absolutely.
He supported Ron Paul.
You couldn't afford me, though.
But I'm saying this in a genuine nature. I believe the organization you guys have shown with this We Are Libertarians thing and the way you've grown it, if you had some of the resources that are available for Republican candidates,
yeah.
I think you guys could do wonders, which is branches into another topic. We talked about changing the party from inside versus third party.
Yeah.
So, but you are the last person, and you are the second last person because of your memdom.
And, you know, I am honored, though, to be considered part of the establishment of a party at the time I was not a part of. That's pretty impressive.
When did you join the Libertarian Party, Greg?
As soon as I got called out, and I joined and said, I'm going to be a delegate for Rex Bell.
So are you arguing there's no establishment?
In what?
Not
in
when
the
you
Libertarian
are.
Party.
In the Libertarian
of Indiana.
In the Libertarian Party of Indiana, it's not big enough to have an establishment. Okay, so let's finish this.
It's an uncommitted
because from my point of view, being gone for so long, I remember Rupert being an outsider.
Yeah.
And I remember there was backlash against that.
Sure.
I remember specific people that were not for that because he was not established. He was an outsider.
Well,
candidate.
No, it was because
it's the same kind of thing I'm seeing with Wallace.
He was not pure. Rupert was not a pure libertarian.
He didn't.
Is that not the was that the, not the rap that Jerry used?
Right. Yep.
But the history was entirely different. One was
but
a
I think that's
TV
the point
star
Wallace
that people
is
lined
making.
Up to meet.
Look, you guys have to better what you did in 2012, whether that's mm-hmm. Rex Bell, Jim Wallace, or maybe you guys have a brokered convention and Greg Lenz ends up being the Libertarian nominee for governor.
He's a member
Dear
now.
God.
What a twist.
What I'm saying is, and I want to see it on some level happen because I think, again, third-party growth. We talked about Michael Dowden, the guy who ran for county council in Hendricks County. Great guy. Won 18% of the vote against a guy that's been in forever. That was awesome because that guy that's been in there forever has been in there forever.
Sure.
And it's time for new blood. And the fact that Michael Dowden stepped up and ran and won 18% of the vote, spending like $30, shows a lot of people thought it was time for
this
a change.
This is a common theme through this entire election cycle, whether it be for dog catcher or president. Yeah. People are sick and tired of being pushed aside and acted like what's important to them. Don't worry about it. We'll get to it. Show up on election day. Here's Mitt Romney.
Yep.
Here's the flippin' Mormon.
Well, but that's the thing. Like, if you want to be Libertarian Party establishment, like, Galt, you were dangerously close to being Libertarian Party establishment because you kept showing up. You just didn't stop. You know what I mean? Like, if you think about it, like, that's the thing. Like, to be Republican Party establishment, you got to run a law firm and have access to all the money in the state. Yeah, it's about money. How much money did you make when you were a libertarian? Right.
He was paid in dank memes.
So yes, I'm not going to argue that there aren't a network of people in the Libertarian Party that know each other, but those are the committed people. They're not the rich people. They're not the – I mean – there are people that run for office every cycle because they can't find anybody else, and they just want somebody to vote for out of conscience. But, you know, I think if – looking at Wallace, you're probably – you're one of the most experienced campaign managers in the Libertarian Party at all, which is saying something. Working on Rupert's campaign, a major gubernatorial campaign, and working on Ed's campaign, one of the biggest campaigns ever run in LP history. If you're a campaign manager and you're sitting down to draft a campaign plan for Wallace, what is the first thing that you tackle? What is your first issue that you think you need to deal with as his campaign manager?
The whale. The whale in the room.
Right. It's
not
even an elephant.
You got to get through that first.
Right.
And then you can worry about everything else.
Right.
Otherwise, you never leave the starting gates.
That's what people will be talking about on election day, and you got to get them talking about it day one so that it's done.
Yep.
And he is 100% spot on. You're right. He should have addressed it out of the gate because the problem festered.
Now we're still talking about using their imagination to craft a narrative.
Yeah,
and that's what's going on. And you only lose at that.
Say that again.
You don't want to not address it because people's imaginations create a narrative.
Right.
There's a vacuum, and a narrative gets filled regardless.
One of my mentors is Abdul Hakim Shabazz. I know he's one of
we love Abdul.
Rob's.
He's great.
He didn't know anything about the Greek exit. Not impressed.
The first principle that he told me, that he taught me, was that if you are explaining in politics, you are losing. And if we were to nominate Jim Wallace, because of the way that he has handled me and Greg, or Greg and I, to be proper,
Why start now?
I think it's Greg and me.
Greg and me.
If you eliminated Greg, it would be me, the way he's handled me. The way he's handled Greg.
Listen, I know all the best words. Stop arguing with me.
I'm very good at wording. I'm going to be the best word president.
Have you seen these steaks? We'll let him for $50.
If you can't handle little old Greg and I, Greg and me, then how are you going to handle when John Gregg stands up in the debate and does what he did to Rupert, which is throw one of those little cute jabs and undermine the beard and the tie-dye and make him look foolish without any chance to respond?
It's real simple. I said this at the Marion County Libertarian last meeting, the Marion County Party meeting, and I said, if it gets close, John Gregg will stand up there and go, well, Jim, it's refreshing you finally care about women's rights and, you know, domestic abuse issues. That hasn't always been the case. And then he'll let everyone – that'll be a vacuum. They'll seize on it. So then you're admitting you're running a candidate – who you're praying to God doesn't get enough momentum, it draws the ire of the two major parties.
And that is a fair point, and you guys are 100% right. And as I've said many times, I'm just thrilled that my radio show created all this controversy and so many people are talking about it. It's been very wonderful, and I can't thank you guys enough.
You know, I considered you a friend, and then you let me be called Mr. Jeb of libertarianism.
Because I knew you guys could
handle
it.
I wasn't a member of.
You're big boys, and I knew you guys would have way more fun with it than me trying to correct
it. And I'm Mr. Yoga Flexible, Trump libertarian.
No, I mean, you guys are great.
No, I'm just kidding.
I was called a purist, okay? You have a lot of experience. You were around in those 4 years that I was around and running the party.
Mm-hmm.
Would you call me a purist and not pragmatic?
No.
Right.
Definitely pragmatic.
Yeah.
Rupert.
But see, that's the problem is when you are a candidate and you're trying to prove that you're not just infiltrating and using us for our ballot access and kissing us on the ear in the morning, like, and then you say about the guy that everybody in the party has worked with and knows on a personal level that he's a purist and not pragmatic, it just reinforces that you don't know what you're talking about, and you really are just out of touch.
Old libertarian.
Right.
And, you know, that. What's funny is...
nice messaging, really.
Like, you became the establishment because you ran a big tent libertarian.
Right.
Winning makes you the establishment because your ideas worked.
Right.
That's what happened. The Republican Party has flipped back and forth over since 1980, or actually since 64 with Goldwater. You had the idealist that was hated by everyone, and he was going to, you know, he was Hitler. Everybody's Hitler. Every Republican that, you know, wants to follow the Constitution is Hitler. But
can I get a pledge from you, Rob? Will you,
raise your right hand?
A little more of an angle.
And you know he knew what he was doing when he did that.
Dominated the media and no one else could get on TV the day before the primary. Or, you know, that's what he does. He
I think my favorite part was a hurricane or whatever.
Yep.
There's a debate going on right now, and I'm sad we're missing it.
Right.
But
yeah.
I'm also going to be debating my girlfriend here in a few minutes about why I was here for 9 hours.
Oh, that's okay. She loves us.
It all started in a little town called Hope.
We haven't even gotten to Donald Trump and then presidential politics yet.
My whole point is that Goldwater lost, got killed. Then the Northeastern Nelson Rockefeller Republicans became the moderate, I can work with these people, Democrat, light, that seize control. Ronald Reagan loses to Ford. Jimmy Carter wins. Jimmy Carter is the worst president in probably modern history as far as his ability to delegate and actually implement change. But Ronald Reagan is the outsider from California who Nelson Rockefeller and the Republican Party hates. But because he is such a compelling messenger and brings a brand new coalition, a brand new positive vision for where the country can go in a time of stagflation and economic misery, he becomes the... They still talk about Reagan now.
Yeah.
Like, you have to kiss the ring now. And he was the ultimate outsider of George H.W. Bush and the old guard of the Republican.
Don't you find it interesting, too, because you're a realist, but you're also a Trump fan. I've told people this the other day. I said, or many times, I said, I don't know how he's going to do it, but I just on some level believe he's going to do it. Like, he is not going to quit until the economy is fixed. And you sided with him. I found that so fascinating because you hate Trump, but
I took the I side with quiz, and I was 89% with Johnson. I was like 30% with Bloomberg, 39% with Hillary. But then at the top, it was, and I posted this on our Facebook page if you want to go and check it out, and I think on our Instagram too. But if you haven't taken isidewith.com, it is a quiz that you fill out your issues. Make sure you expand everything. There's a bunch of different questions.
I got Greg Lenz. You got to side with Greg Lenz.
You got to weight it. Oh. And then once you take the quiz.
Establishment.
Libertarian National Socialist Party.
You take the I Side With quiz based on issues and where you stand, and then it will tell you who you should vote for. And so I think it's really interesting. Gary Johnson actually won by a landslide in 2012 over Mitt Romney and Barack Obama. In this quiz, the libertarian, which shows, you know, the people who are taking the quiz are fairly libertarian, probably younger people.
On the internet.
Yeah. So
sampling error, you know.
Right. But, you know, it's like 3 million people took it, and he won that. That's a pretty damn good sample size. But I sided with Gary Johnson, 89%, and then I sided with Donald Trump at...
Donald J. Trump.
At 69%, Bernie Sanders at 68%, Jill Stein at 68%.
Yeah, you got a lot of the, like, environmental stuff.
Ted Cruz, like, 65%. It wasn't environmental stuff. It is criminal justice reform.
Oh, yeah.
So that's where I side. I side with Bernie on criminal justice reform, on drug, you know...
Feels.
Drug shit. So
he's okay with auditing the Fed?
So there's a lot of things that Bernie Sanders on issues...
He agrees with libertarians. It's how you get there. Like,
come the primary.
Government creates cronyism. Yep. Clearly, we just need better and more effective government that I can lead.
As much as we make fun of Brad Lowry, I do understand the appeal of him.
And he's honest.
I do understand the appeal of a Donald Trump. I do I agreed with Trump on more economic issues, on I forget what. Definitely not immigration, because I'd marked open borders on everything. And I was
so
surprised.
You don't believe
in
the idea of the country, then?
I do believe in the idea of the country. I don't believe in the idea of trying to stop human migration towards freedom. I believe that in a free market, okay, so this is an idealist thing. This is not necessarily a pragmatic, immediate thing, okay? But in a free market society, people can live wherever they want. They can work within the community because your world is as big as the people in front of you, for the most part, even in this global economy. And you don't want to you want to have the idea of 50 states where you have these different labs of democracy. And then
if
you
you're
going to
have
down.
A constitutional Republican form of government, you want that.
Right. And so the more economic freedom that we have and the less welfare that we have, the more nationalism that we have, the less war we end up having, because war destroys economies and destroys things like lives and property. And
liberty, for sure.
You don't need borders.
Frank Underwood does not agree with that.
Right. Mandatory
freedom.
If you live in a world of borders, that encourages nationalism, which encourages trade protection, which interrupts the free market, interrupts the migration of people from less free areas to more free areas. Mm-hmm. That's the argument against, you know, everything being Somalia, because you're going to migrate somewhere that isn't Somalia. So that is why I don't believe that we need borders. I do understand that in this current environment, you can't. We are too dependent on the government in terms of benefits,
right?
You know?
Absolutely.
And so it's very difficult to have. You just can't have open borders when you have a welfare system.
No, because you know there's an inverse correlation between individual liberty and then the size of the government. Quite right. Frankly, and what it can give to you know who said that? What any a government big enough to give you.
Is it big enough to take it all away?
Right, and it's the truest, you know, thing in the world. Now, like, Chris doesn't totally understand where I come down on Trump, and I actually, like, theoretically, I am no borders. They're a country's, you know, it's a platonic ideal of something that doesn't exist.
Yeah. Churchill
drew the Middle East on a cocktail napkin after, like, six whiskeys at lunch. Not kidding, if you look at Syria's border.
Look at Iraq.
Churchill looks like Bruce.
He does.
Iraq is a perfect example of the false construct of society that our borders.
The elites drawing lines on a piece of paper.
Mostly for political gain.
That everyone else is bound to that they didn't
right.
sign.
When we're still suffering the effects of something that was done 100 years later.
In the name of we know best.
Right.
Sunni Shia socially engineer.
Sunni Shia is
look at it in the smallest scale, like precincts for committees. Yeah. That's all organized so that they get the outcome that they want.
Right? Gosh, yeah. I mean, it's shocking that there is only 95% reelection. Oh. If you look at the gerrymandering that goes on, it should be 99.
Yeah.
It just shows how bad of candidates run at the local level.
Okay.
You know, like Todd Young's. Sorry. No, but like with Chris, I am with Chris. These are false. The reality is there are good and bad things for liberty. If you look at Syria right now, 1.5 million people flee into Europe. It's been happening in France for years, called the Browning of France. There are Sharia courts in London. There is an issue, and even the United States, Dearbornistan, Dearborn, Michigan. It's almost entirely non-assimilate. People, they don't want to assimilate. They want their own society. And that is problematic because it's different than I want to come here and be more free. It's exclusionary. There's breakdowns in communication, and that's when warring starts, and that's what you're seeing with the Syrian political refugees in Germany. Why do you think Golden Dawn is rising, far-right parties? Why do you think all of a sudden Mein Kampf's for sale again in Germany? This has been a trend that's been going on.
Right.
And the reality is, if everyone wants to assimilate and become and pursue freedom and pursue individual responsibility, then borders don't matter. If people want to live right next to each other and start enforcing the way they believe on you, and they have free access to do it, and there's no barrier to do it, all of a sudden, real wars start. Like, we bombed the hell out of Germany. We dropped 2 nuclear bombs on Japan.
Right.
Toyota and Honda, the best-selling cars in the United States, 50 years later.
And everything that I do and everything that I believe in and libertarianism is my chosen belief system in terms of politics because everything is about openness and just the more open, honest, authentic human beings are, the more the better your life is. The more open that we are in
like
terms
we're
of economics,
cue one love at some point.
Yeah,
not, but this is the that's but the ideal. Like this is what right. we all hope for and
we
push
all hope for.
Right.
A one world government.
Meanwhile, Ted Cruz dreams of bombing brown people.
Not, I so, mean, he's you know on, they're both less interventionist than Hillary.
Well,
I'm
yeah,
in love
that's
with the regime wall. Change. Aren't you in love with the wall?
I'm in love with the wall because we're a net deficit country on our trade.
So,
and if all of a sudden you put a tax on goods that were imported where there were proven world trade currency manipulators, you're going to bring back blue-collar jobs that would never be fleeing the Democratic Party and voting for Donald Trump. Because we have been the noble martyr. In the name of free trade, we'll take it on the chin. We'll job retraining, community colleges, tax credits.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, these people declare bankruptcy.
Yeah.
Lives are ruined, and they end up being stuck in rotting communities. And so at a certain point, when you are a deficit country, build a wall, put a tax on it, or incentivize people to bring it back with no tax.
And we could talk Trump forever, but at the end of the day,
I just mean in general.
No, really, all that could be fixed by ending the fiat money. By
good luck with that.
But there's literally
no, but
nothing
I mean,
at this point that you could tell me that would make me not vote for Donald Trump. You?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
You if he actually created internment camps for Muslims, that would be...
Well, I'm saying... Oh,
my sign says probably no camps, Trump 2016.
But I'm saying in the primary, Republican primary that's coming up...
Oh, yeah, because a lot of mine is animosity, too,
yeah.
because so, they shove ideological
even,
leaders
yeah,
in the closet.
I haven't even decided which primary I'm voting in yet.
I'm with Trump on economic, education, electoral, environmental, and science. He's at 69. Jill Stein's next at 68 with Bernie. And then 67 for Ted Cruz. And everybody else is in the low 50s. Now, see, I would think, Rob, that you would be more of a Ted Cruz guy.
I liked Cruz, but I got a couple issues with Cruz. One, I don't think he can win a general election.
He gets crushed.
I think Trump, and this could be being naive, I think Trump will destroy Hillary Clinton. I think he will. His offense will be so amazing, and I do believe he will say things about Bill Clinton in a public debate that have needed to be said for 20 years.
Yeah,
that people have been wanting to hear for 20 years.
He is
the trial he never got.
He is very much a Republican catharsis in the way that because Republicans feel beat down and second
shoved aside,
like. Barack Obama voters were cathartic. Right. The Democrats had been beaten down and shoved aside, and Barack Obama was going to take it to him, and he has. He's been.
They wanted to run
fighter.
A Jim Webb type,
which is
Donald Trump,
and
who Jim Webb will endorse.
Right.
I also think that Cruz, I love the Trump press conferences, by the way. Aren't they just the best?
He makes politics better.
He does.
It's more
when
fun
he
to watch.
Goes on this thing about Lion Ted, I was laughing hysterically. Holds the Bible up, tells the truth. Puts the Bible down, tells the lie.
And Marco's
Ted.
A little dude.
Yeah.
Little Marco.
What he did to Carson in Iowa and then some of this other stuff, it's like, man.
Oh, he's a scumbag.
Yeah, it's like, dude.
He's
when
a bushy.
He didn't show up to vote for the Fed, that was it for me.
Oh, he's and that's the
to
thing
audit
is
the Fed.
Like ideologically, I like his answer on. I mean, I am for. There shouldn't be any marriage that's federally decided or state decided. Ideally, but if we're going to do it, at least have it where the states get to decide and make it a federalist or like a federalist.
And I don't
issue.
Think Trump cares about these.
He doesn't
other
care
issues.
About any of that stuff.
He cares. I really genuinely believe his core issues are national security. And I think national security for him is staying out of these other countries.
Yeah, he's the least interventionist candidate
which is a huge part
other
of
than Gary Johnson.
But he's also the least intellectual, the least...
But he's not as
you
crazy
can't
as he
be valedictorian
on.
At Wharton School.
Yeah,
man,
dude,
stupid.
He's brilliant,
but
dude.
But that was when he was 20. He's 70.
No, I'm saying, but
he's old and crazy at this point.
No, he's not as crazy as he lets on. That's an act.
Ronald Reagan cut the hell out of taxes, which is so important, and he had beginning stages of Alzheimer's.
I think
Sarah Palin almost was vice president of the United States, and she can't act.
I want a president that Russia respects, and that might be a bad statement to make. But
he can get along with people.
Yeah. I think Trump, his whole life, and he said this, one of his coherent thoughts at the debate, he said, I've done deals my whole life. And I don't think deals mean compromise or giving away your principles. I think it means compromising and getting 80% of what you want, which is a great thing.
And the elites have picked the candidates for the last 20 years.
Absolutely.
Look where it got us.
Yep, absolutely. So,
you can't have confidence that, yep. Oh, sometimes the establishment's good. We got a hashtag never Trump, save the party.
What
are you talking about?
Those people are crazy.
Well, no, the people that are so scared of, one, the moderate they've always been waiting for, but now just doesn't Yep. Do it how you're supposed to.
And I love
more modern than Jeb, but he's not
selling
Jeb.
Water. He's selling steaks.
Did you see the video of George H.W. Bush cutthroat?
Oh yeah.
Oh man.
No, what happened?
He's the antithesis to what
Donald
they
Trump
want.
Starts talking. He looks at him in the face and goes,
"Yeah,
cut it out." Like
just like no man. New taxes. Read my lips.
Wow. All right. Well, we got to wrap up before Haley kills us.
I did have a presentation for Greg. I have one for you too. I'm not sure where yours is going to end up. I feel like this would actually end up on the back of Greg Lynn's automobile. This is a Marlon Stutzman for U.S. Senate bumper sticker.
Wow. I will
that I would like to use
the name Marlon this time.
I'm
going to
go
Stutzman.
Find where Todd Young lives, and I'm going to put it on his wife's car.
I got to tell you. I like the logo.
I gotta tell you,
great.
I yeah. phone banked for him. Before.
He's
a good guy.
He yeah. is who
I've
he is.
Met him.
And I get asked by people all the time.
Good on the issues.
How could you support Marlon and Donald Trump because they're so personality wise different? I said because they're both genuine people.
Yeah,
and I think
that's how
before
I felt when
we
I met him.
Solve our nation's problems, we need genuine people that really do care.
Because you never have an honest conversation if no one's being honest.
Yeah, absolutely. And he is just a genuinely good person. So anyway, Greg,
thank you.
You were very vocal and adamant at a time of great interest in our state on a very key issue.
You know what's funny? He just made me mad. It's the entitled elite Republican Indiana Republicans that tell the stupid people, "You don't know what you're talking about. Let me run this guy." I mean, Todd Young's a smart guy, but Marlon actually believes what he says, and that is worth its weight in gold.
And I said this before. I've had Young on my radio show and at Holcomb, too, and they're good interviews. I think we've reached a point where we need genuine people leading our nation, even if they're people I don't 100% agree with, and I think Marlon's just a very genuine person. So, Chris, I'll look forward to seeing this in the back of your car as well.
Listen, there isn't a libertarian candidate yet.
Save the overhead.
And there isn't a libertarian candidate, though, yet.
That's right.
Okay. Well, not yet, but we
I
have
nominate Draft Spangle.
Draft Spangle. Spangle
hashtag.
For Senate.
We honestly could use a candidate for Senate because the guy that's running is not good.
Chris, guys, I really do appreciate you guys having me on here.
Thanks.
Again.
It's been so nice to have you back.
Yeah.
We're going to wrap it up.